Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning. It's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable service providers and contractors in the industry. On today's show, we have Taylor Gibson, Market Manager of National Design Mart. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Everybody's doing good. It's great to be alive and well this Saturday morning. Beautiful weather ahead, I think. At least today compared to last week about this time. And pardon me, folks, for this morning up front, because it's just been as it has been for a lot of people, I'm sure, this week. Very emotional week, knowing what happened in the western part of the state and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida. I don't want to miss anybody because it's devastating. And I can't amiss from not going there, coming into the show before I introduce my guest and plow. I've got to get this out there because I can't ignore it. We can't not talk about it, because for all the homies, and what I mean by homies are all the people that grew up in Charlotte and around Charlotte. And when I say around Charlotte, I'm talking about around Charlotte. Because in reality, if you grew up in Asheville, you'd knowing about Charlotte. Charlotte was the big city. I've had many, many discussions growing up, because I grew up raised in Charlotte. And the mountains were my home away from home growing up as a kid. I can sit here and I'll get emotional, so I can't. I grew up in the North Carolina mountains, and when I say that, no, I was raised in Charlotte, but I had aunts, uncles, and cousins, and, you know, all that, and they had places up in the hills, little cabins, mountain, you know. Matter of fact, when I was born, there's pictures of me in a cabin up on Shumont Mountain. It's about, 9 miles above Bat Cave, and naturally going up there weekends, and I shot my first rifle. I shot my first BB gun, my first .22 shotgun. Every gun I've ever first shot was in the hills of North Carolina. And, you know, being from Charlotte, you go to the mountains, you go to the coast. In 3.5 hours, it took 4 or 5 when I was a kid, because the roads weren't quite as advanced, you might say. I mean, for example, I just went to Wrightsville Beach this week, and it only took me 3.5 hours, basically, to get there. Well, when I was a kid, that probably would have translated into 5. But anyway, you still went to the beach because it's just down the street, relatively speaking. And, you know, as you get older, you go and you enjoy nature, and you get out and you visit, because Charlotte's such a beautiful climate. And like I said, it's just right in the middle of everything you could ever want in nature. But the mountains always have captured my heart, because it's nature. You feel closer to God in the woods. At least I did. I always have. relate that to Yellowstone National Park when I went through that. You can't help but look around you in that beautiful place and wonder. You know, you're just right there in God's chapel to me, and that's nature. But last week when we were on the air, that we didn't even understand or realize the devastation that those people went through, the nightmare, the catastrophe. Chimney Rock, as I knew it as a kid, or just 2 years ago, me and my girlfriend went up on Chimney Rock. As many times as I went through that village as a kid, I never went up on the rock. Never did. I don't know why, I just never went up there. But I did. She and I went up there, had a bottle of wine together, enjoyed the day. Beautiful, beautiful, looking down on Lake Lure. Just a beautiful little village. And grew up. Even there's another story. And I could sit here and tell you stories about my childhood. Flat Rock Creek Falls, about 5 miles above Bat Cave there. Private property, beautiful. The owners lived down in Valdosta, Georgia. I never forget it. All of that's changed, I'm sure. The waterfalls up there, I just can't imagine what's left. Of course, it's going to fall, just change directions because the elevations didn't change, but the topography did. Devastating, just completely, absolutely devastating. And the people, there's no way to know at this point, a week later. There's so much coming out in the social media and the news and all, and it's just going crazy. And people are absolutely nuts over it, and rightfully so. It attacks you in so many different ways, and I want to reach out and tell everybody it's okay. It's okay to feel sad, and it's okay. I personally thought, well, why don't I get in my car and go get in somebody's truck and get on board and just go up there and help. But here's what I want to say. I'm a little older than some, and that doesn't make me any better or any worse than anyone else. But I have lived and seen and witnessed a few catastrophes in my life. We can't overreact, and what I mean by that is I'm seeing a lot of overreactions and a lot of over-emotional people. I understand. I really do. I'm right there with you. However, I'm going to give you a crazy example, but it's an example. I saw several places, why are people going nuts over toilet paper? And there's a run on toilet paper and paper towels. Well, I'm going to tell you where that's coming from, and I just want you to stop, and let's all use our common sense. Let's stop and use our common sense. We all want to help because that's the human nature in us. God made us that way. And it's a beautiful thing, and we want to help. I want to help, but I am helping. I've been helping for the past 20 to 40 years. And what I mean by that is, who's going to rebuild this area? Who's going to help these people with hands-on, critical thinking minds? I want to inspire kids to help and serve. And that's what I'm doing, and that's what I have been doing. So I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, because I guess I'm one of the old guys, and I might get hurt. But I'm not that old, actually, and I do want to go up there and help. I really do, but I want to help from down here. And some of us need to lay back and understand that the run on paper towels, the run on propane tanks, the run on everything is because people are buying it up and sending it to the hills. That's where it went. That's where it's going. It's not because of the dock strike on the coast. It's not because of that. We're not going to feel the repercussions of that for some time because of the warehouse inventory. But there's a lot of help being sent to the hills. The helicopter pilots, all the people that have jumped on board, thank you, goodness gracious, for all the people that are suffering. We pray for you. We wish you the best. And we're all in it, very close to home. And it's major. Those people had no idea what was coming on them. None. This has never happened in the history of the United States. And I'm not going to get deep on how and why this happened, not today. But I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to leave it alone. Next week, pay attention to the weather in the Midwest. I'm telling you now, pay attention. And I don't want to get political, but I've got to. They're going to do anything they can to disrupt this election. We're in a war, and it's very apparent to me. I've seen a lot of things in my life, but it's getting freaky. And I pay attention. I don't want to, because I don't like all I see. But folks, let's come together. Let's make it happen together and spread love and try to hang in there and be patient. Because tempers are flaring, people are scared, people are afraid. Fear is a terrible, terrible emotion. It pulls out the worst in us, unfortunately. So I personally say I love you all, and I wish I could do more personally, truly. Because we all need to dig down deep and figure out what we can do around us. And that's just spread love. So I just hope it gets better. And by the way, everybody was saying, where's our government? Well, they've done a lousy job, and we know that. I'm not going to go into all that. But I will say, I do know for a fact that the recovery military is on the ground in Asheville. There's been tremendous amounts of outpour from some government agencies in the hills now. And also, I witnessed a convoy of Walmart tractor trailers, convoy headed that way. I don't know how, don't know all the facts, but I do know that there's relief coming. We've just got to keep it on. So there you go. And I hope everybody has a great week ahead, and kind of we look at it for what it is, and we help where we can. All right. Today's show, told you it's going to be a tough one for me. Taylor Gibson's in here because I've got to bring her in here because what's funny about it ain't funny, but it is kind of funny. Taylor, I met her, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever. Time flies, really does. I met her at an NKBA meeting personally, although I didn't meet you before that, did I?
No, it was there.
Hold it. You need to talk about 6 inches from the mic. There you go.
Nope, it was there. It was the NKBA
okay. And I met her through Bullet, Steve Helms. Steve Helms and I have known each other for, 30 years maybe, 25, 20 to 30. I don't know. It's been a while. And the reason being, Steve's from this area, and he's been in the industry all those years. Met him when he was with Piedmont Natural Gas, doing outside sales. Back in the day, you could call Piedmont and buy an oven. Those days have changed. I don't think they sell ovens and appliances anymore. Anyway, got a great history, he does, and he does a lot of fishing. Boy loves to fish. And Taylor is an example of what I've experienced the past 3 days. I went to a conference in the eastern part of the state at Wrightsville Beach, and it was a conference around the trades, Connect for Success NC. They do the shed competitions, the vote comp. They're not really competitions, but yes, they are. They are competitions. They didn't want to use the word competitive, and I get that. But they're competitive in nature, and you know, you can't help but understand how competition enters the picture in this sports-riddled world we live in, when everything's competitive. Everything you're taught to compete in school. It's part of the process. And then you're turning around and say it's not a competition? Well, it is in sorts. Anyway, point being, shed, vote, spark, a welding competition, spark is, vote, electrical event or competition. And then they've got the shed competition, which is tremendous, tremendous. And in the eastern part of the state, we don't know about it. However, it things are changing. Anyway, I went to the conference 3 days, and it was very enlightening because I was in a room with approximately 50 to 70 people all around the education, put tools in schools, same thing, different place, you know, and how effective it is in schools. And when I say effective, I mean effective, how it changes lives. Young kids' lives that don't like sitting in a classroom. And I was one of those kids. However, I made pretty good grades because I was a pretty average kid. You know, I just used my head. Thank God I had a head to think with. So anyway, these kids were no different, but our kids aren't exposed to tools. And you know, even Taylor, and I got Taylor, good morning.
Good morning.
Taylor Gibson, she is the market director. I was going to call you general manager. Same thing.
Market manager.
Market manager.
Similar.
It's same thing. You're the general manager. You're the head. Ain't nobody above you here in Charlotte, is there?
No.
You're it, aren't you?
I am.
You're it. And we're going to find out from Taylor what she's all about and why she's here. And she's an amazing story, and that's my point. And I've, you know me in age. You know, matter of fact, everybody I meet, I say, how old are you? I did that at the conference, and, you know, I want to find out how old people are because it's a benchmark.
Right.
Tells me where you're at in life. And I've lived enough life to understand that that means something. And I got called down for it from a lady. She says, you know, Ray, that's frowned upon in some places. I says, I don't care. I said, that's not going to stop me. A lot of people call it rude, downright rude. I said, but I'm not speaking out of rudeness or anything. It tells me where you're at, you know, in life. And she said, yeah, that makes sense. I said, well, either it does or it doesn't. I don't really care, you know. But Taylor, she's 25 years old. And Taylor's a story about exactly what I witnessed around Connect for Success NC and their connection through teachers, through education. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to talk to, I'm going to tell you about a panel of six young adults that are in the careers of the trades. They're varied, the six of them, but all of them are very content, happy, and I'll talk a little bit about that and how they need to happen here. But she, Taylor's an example of that, and that's where I, what I want to share with you, and it, I don't know how this happened, the connectivity there, but hey, I like it. So, Taylor Gibson, the market manager right here in Charlotte for the new company to Charlotte, National Design Mart. We'll talk about all of that, much, much more, right here on About Your House, Fox Sports Charlotte. Give us a call if you want to, 704-227-8986. Love to hear from you. We can go anywhere you want. Does not matter here on this beautiful Saturday morning. Wake up. Join us. We'll be right back. Casey and Sunshine.
Casey Band. And the Sunshine Band. Oh, yeah, give it up.
That's a new one. Give it up.
Give it up, Ray.
Okay. All right. Welcome back. About Your House. I got Taylor Gibson here, market manager, general manager. Call her what you want. She's a ball of fire. Taylor Gibson. I met her about, I don't know, a couple months back at an NKBA meeting through Bullet Helms. And then she and Bullet went to work for them as what?
He's our business developer.
Business development guy. and a good guy for the job because he don't mind talking, and that's what you got to do.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yep. Taylor, you're from Medina.
Yeah, Worcester, Ohio is where I grew up from.
So you grew up in Worcester, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Yep, born and raised there, been there for my entire life until I moved down here about 3 months ago.
How many siblings do you have?
None, just me.
Just you. Only child.
Only child.
Okay, so you grew up in Worcester?
Yep.
What's the population of Worcester?
Oh.
Just curious.
Not much. It's a smaller town.
I mean, okay, it's just a small...
It's a small town. It's small suburban town.
I got you. And then Medina apparently is bigger?
Medina is bigger. Probably double the size of Worcester.
Okay, how far from Worcester?
30 minutes between each other.
Oh, really? Well, that's
yeah.
nothing. Shoot, it'd take you 45 minutes to drive across Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's like driving from Pineville to Huntersville.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much same thing. Okay, that puts everything in perspective right there. And you grew up in Worcester. Okay, you went to elementary school... Middle school,
high school,
all in Worcester.
Yep.
What took you, where did it all start for you? Because I met Taylor, and, you know, and I meet a lot of people in the industry, but not many young people that are passionate and intense about their profession, such as what I saw down at this, you know, conference I went to, because there were six young adults that are in their field now because of exposure in high school. Where did you get into what you're doing? All right. What is it you do at National Design Mart?
So we're a flooring, cabinet, and countertop company. We're a full-service company. So we source and install and supply flooring, cabinets, and countertops. I started with the company 8 years ago as a receptionist in their Worcester location, actually, which is
so
the
you were
first
18.
Location.
17.
Younger than that. I was
you were 17.
16.
You were 16.
Yeah, 16,
okay,
starting as
well,
a receptionist.
Well, that's what I'm getting to right there. So you're 16. What took you there?
So my dad had worked for them as an installer for many years and actually got brought in on the office side, and he heard that they were hiring, and I was looking for a part-time job during high school to keep busy and make some extra cash. So
your dad was in flooring?
Mm-hmm. Yep, his whole life.
So you grew up around flooring?
Yep, I grew up around flooring on job sites.
What
you know,
kind of flooring? I have to ask
all kinds. So he does everything. He did all hard surface, laminate, hardwood,
he
tile.
Did hardwood, everything.
Carpet.
Tile,
yeah. He started
everything.
As a carpet installer and then kind of branched off into hard surface and then became a tile setter. And, yeah, he did a lot of different things with it.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
awesome.
He's still with National as well. He's our director of field operations, so he... is in charge of managing all of our sub-labor and subcontractors and then any of our field supervisors. So
your
much
family runs deep in National Design Mart.
Yeah, yes.
So you grew up with it, literally.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you? And you said you went out on job sites. Did
yeah.
you go with your dad growing up?
Yeah, growing up, you know, if I had a day off of school or something and we didn't have anyone to watch, I was on the job site with him on certain days and, yeah, picking up trash or sweeping floors.
Did you ever do any installation?
No, not when I was younger. But as I've gotten
well,
older.
Well, no, not at that. But you have done it.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, so I've, as working through National, anytime there's any like hands-on trainings or any kind of education, I want to get involved in that and definitely am involved in that just to
wow.
not really understand, you know, what my trades are dealing with on a daily basis and what it takes to get the job done because it's hard work.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's hard, but it's rewarding.
It is rewarding.
You know, the one thing that I've been in industry for a long time, and I don't care what you do in a house or a commercial building or any structure, you have floor covering. You have floor covering of
yeah.
some sort, and it's there. And typically, you have countertops. You have surface materials, tile. You know, other now it's exploded with Decton and all the tremendous porcelain pieces. It's absolutely exploded, you know. And you grew up around it all, but
yes.
but you still are.
Yes.
That's what the neat thing is. You got such an intense background around flooring.
Yeah, but yeah.
Did you learn the difference in carpets and all that stuff?
Through National, I did. Not when I was younger. But
well, I understand
as
you were
yeah.
too young to dive deep, and I understand that just to expose yourself was, well, look what it did. It took you to that. Look, you're only 25. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, we've always done a lot of, you know, product knowledge trainings. If we have reps in, that can explain their different products and understand every aspect of it. And I'm always interested in learning more. I don't think you can ever know enough. And I learn something new every day.
Taylor, though, it's always changing.
It is always changing.
I mean, from what you know to what I grew up with is change.
Like, absolutely.
Did you ever work with Armstrong designer Solarian?
No, but I worked with Armstrong.
But see, the difference back in the 70s, that was the be-all, baby.
Right.
That was it. And now you don't have that mess. Thank God it's gone. I never liked putting it in. But I did, you know. So you grew up watching everything change, too. You were young when LVP hit the market.
Yeah.
You know, and your dad grabbed that one. It's exploded, though.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely, yeah.
So, now, National Design Mart, it's new to Charlotte, folks. It's brand new. April?
We got keys to the building the 3rd of June.
3rd of June,
yep.
So really recent. Okay. And I don't want to mislead people here, okay, because I have to clarify the directive here. National Design Mart, well, I'm going to let you say it. You came to Charlotte. Here's a I got to put the emphasis on this little story here. Here's a 25-year-old single young lady, beautiful, intelligent, passionate, intense. Knowledge is incredible, and you just heard why, you know, and not completely. You're going to hear more. But here she is at 25 years old, moved to Charlotte, out of her hometown, basically. Just 25 years old, here we go, and they had enough confidence in this young lady at 25 to move her to Charlotte and put her in charge of the new branch in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. National Design Mart only has 3 branches.
Mm-hmm.
Wooster, Medina, and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Yep.
That's it. So Charlotte is number 4. Now, clarification. They are strong leaders in the market in those 3 cities, or at least I know one, that they're very strong. Their headquarters, I mean, it's a large outfit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the family, the history. Can you?
Yeah,
you apparently know because you're part of it.
Yeah, it's a family-owned company. The Caden family is the family that owns the company. It was started by their dad, Dennis, back in the 1960s when he first started selling flooring. And then he branched off and created National Design Mart.
Is he still with us?
He is.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he branched off and started his own company 26 years ago, National Carpet Mill Outlet. That was our Worcester location. They actually bought an old skating roller rink and filled it with flooring and started selling flooring out of there. The two brothers, Chris and Ryan, are the sons, and they are mainly involved in the company now. They branched off to Medina to go after more builder business. They saw a need for that. Before, it was a lot of retail, and they saw definitely a good market for the builder business. So we went to a warehouse in Medina on Lafayette Road. We were there for a handful of years, and then finally we built the large building on Medina Road. And I believe it's like 7 acres under a roof for
a
flooring showroom.
It's
yeah.
If you go to nationaldesignmart.com, there's pictures of all the team, and it's pretty ginormous.
Yeah. So that created National Design Mart. It actually merged 2 companies together: National Carpet Mill Outlet and National Granite Luxuries. National Granite Luxuries is our countertop company. We fabricate all of our own countertops, and then we have an indoor slab yard as well.
Right.
And then the idea of this building was that it could be a one-stop shop for customers, so you can pick out your flooring cabinets and countertops all in one day if you want to spend the day. We have a cafe, a kids' kingdom, so it's kind of made to be a destination for you to spend, you know, your entire day and design your
like
entire
house. Like an IKEA store.
Yeah.
National Design Mart, but that's in Medina, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, not to mislead you, that's not in Charlotte. Okay.
Correct.
We
no.
don't have that facility in Charlotte, but I don't want to mislead anyone. I want to let them know why you're here. Well, you're here for many reasons for me personally, but I want to introduce National Design Mart to Charlotte, and you know, and what what you're about here in Charlotte, in the Charlotte market, because they're not going to do the retail and the countertops and the.
Correct.
You've got to, what are your plans in Charlotte?
Our plans in Charlotte to mainly flooring and cabinets. Countertops we can for the right kind of project for us, but we'd be looking logistically, manufacturing everything in Ohio and then bringing that down. But down here, we are not open to the public, so no retail, but we do new construction, multifamily, commercial, and builder projects.
So developers, builders, and larger developments, and custom builders.
And custom builders, yes.
And you want to deal with custom builders, too.
Yeah.
But you would do countertops if the setting's right.
If it's the right project, correct.
If it's the right project.
Yeah, like we have some commercial projects going down in down South Carolina near Myrtle Beach. And so we will go to different areas. It just depends on the project.
And here again, once again, the company is definitely equipped for transportation.
Yeah, we have a fleet of vehicles and definitely ready to kind of go wherever our customers need us to be.
So imagine y'all cover a lot of area up in Ohio.
We do. Yeah, we are all over Northeast Ohio.
Being a company with that much age and that much, you know, our development and relationship in the community, y'all got to be strong up there. One thing you brought up, too, that National Design Mart did, which intrigues me a lot, is education. And you do teaching and in the trade itself, the floor covering, and you do training. And
yeah, we do a lot of training. You know, not only with our employees, but also with our subcontractors. We offer it to them to better themselves, to, you know, expand their knowledge.
Everybody.
It does. It comes full circle. I mean, if you're an estimator and you know how things go together, you're probably going to be able to estimate your projects better. And that's, you know, a big part of why I want to learn everything I can about the industry, because at the end of the day, if I can bid a project correctly, I can send it out the door correctly. My subcontractor's happy because he's getting paid. And then my customer's happy because they have a great final product.
Right. And you've been involved. All right, give me the evolution. You started as a receptionist.
Yes, so I started as a receptionist.
At the ripe young age of 16.
Yes.
Very young, very energetic. 16 years old, you became Miss Receptionist.
Right? Yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah, so I started at the Worcester location.
You were in high school.
I was, yeah. So I was really grateful in high school to do College Credit Plus, so I actually took college classes through.
I was going there.
Yeah, through high school, so that allowed me to work a little bit more than the typical like high school student. So started as a receptionist with them. I did that for about a year, and you know, any time I had downtime, I didn't like just sitting still, so I'd always, you know, run around and ask, "What can I do to help you? What paperwork can I process?" Yeah, I wanted to do more, and I didn't want to just sit there and, you know, do nothing and just wait for the phone call to come in or to greet someone when they walked in the door. Like, I wanted to do something with that downtime, so I would always go to accounting because they always had paperwork to process. So I would go to them and help them process paperwork, and they ended up asking me if I wanted to move into accounts receivable for the builder side of things. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I moved into that, and I did that for about 2 weeks, and I was still like, I was like, I don't think this is like a full-time thing for me. Like, I can get a lot of this work done. So one of the project managers at the time, he's like, hey, like, if you're done with your accounting work, are you interested in helping me with some, you know, making paperwork and just helping me with random administrative tasks? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I started doing that. I did that and then accounting work together for about 2 years, and I ended up helping him quite a bit and running projects with him. And 2 years after that, I said, I'm ready to be a project manager. I think I've learned a lot time. And
in accounting, you learn more there than you probably ever anticipated you learned.
Yeah, I learned so much in that accounting position. And, you know, even going through it in college, it was, I learned more doing it. And
so you went to college?
Yes. Yeah, I went to college part-time. By the time I graduated.
What'd you do in college?
I went for business. So I have a degree in the business of organizational supervision and then a minor in workplace communication.
Perfect tie-in.
Yeah.
And that's what you did it for, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I knew I wanted a business degree. I've always wanted to go into a management type of position. I really think management can...
You're a great example of what education's about.
Yeah, I am.
Because you, it was very directed to the end goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I ask kids, and I have to say this because a lot of people think I'm down on college. No, I'm not. I'm down on college if you're not going to use it effectively. Well, here's an example of effectivity, of reality, of how you apply. And you knew what you were going to do before you ever went to college, basically. But you knew the education you needed to wrap it around you to be the best you could be.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And I commend you for that. That's awesome. And you're a great example of what I'm all about, because here's a young lady that's in the trades, you know, in around business. So, wow, awesome. And she's 25 years old. And how long have you been out of college? How long has it been since you let
go? I graduated in 21.
I got you. Okay, cool. Awesome. So you became project manager.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did project management, and the main reason why I got into that is because one of my coworkers, she had just started becoming a project manager, and she was really good at it and really good at her job, and the installers really liked her, and she knew her stuff, and I wanted to be just like her because
she was your mentor.
She was, yeah.
Inspiration. She was your guidepost.
Yes. Yeah, no, and I just saw how well she was doing with that, and I was like, I want to do that one day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few years older than me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and she kind of had a similar growth with the company as I did. She started as a receptionist, moved into accounting, and then moved into project management from there.
Nice pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, nice to have that background with, you know, from reception to accounting, and then even understanding, like, you know, being a subcontractor with my father. It was really gave me a full circle of how what I do every day as a project manager affects everyone around me.
You know how the puzzle works and goes together.
Yeah.
That's incredible, because that's what construction is. It's nothing more, and I don't care what aspect of it you're in, commercial, residential, industrial, you know, or remodeling. All of it is a system. It's a puzzle. All the pieces need to go together. And that's one thing that's, you know, I heard yesterday from all the young professionals coming up, you know, on that panel we discussed. Every one of those kids recognized how important teamwork is, how important planning is. Because, you know, and I've said this many times, every job I ever did, I did it completely on paper in a file folder where everything, all the information was in there. Every bit of the information about the job was in there. And all you had to do was assemble it, you know, and then that's it. That's not necessarily the easiest part, but it's done on paper, right? Right?
Yeah, that's how I started, for sure. It was all paper, but I'm definitely moving to paperless. That's one of my goals for Charlotte, is to become a paperless company down here. And if that is successful, we'll roll that out to the other three locations.
So you grew up in Techville too, meaning all
Yeah.
And so that, and you just said something, that you're really into technology, to utilization of technology and the strength it has in your business. And I'm going to go off, take a left-hand turn here real quick, won't dwell on it. AI, do you know about it?
I know about it.
are you pursuing it?
Not personally.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of it. You know, I see
that's
things that come out with it, and I think it could be used for good, but I think it could be used for a lot of bad too.
Scares the hell out of me, to be quite honest with you. You know, and here's the thing: we've dumbed down enough with Google, and that smartphone everybody's carrying around, and they don't rely on their own sense of common sense and or ability to critical think. That's what's missing, is critical thinking. Not saying you, girl, but critical thinking. And every bit of what you learned is critical thinking and problem resolution. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
You know, we don't teach that in school. You didn't learn that in school.
No.
You know, but yet, you know, it takes doing it. The only way you learn is how. Do you know, Taylor? Test question again. The only way we learn.
By failing and trying again.
Application.
Yeah.
And if you apply it, you're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're actually going to really screw up sometimes. But have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really?
You've screwed up?
Yeah, you have to.
It's imperative. You got to do it to go forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Matter of fact, I encourage failing. If you fail and really care and you have the passion to learn, hey, have a good day. What'd you learn?
Yeah.
You know, learning is absolutely the greatest thing we could give our kids. You know, but we want to do it with their love for what they're doing. If they hate what they're doing, then let's find what they love to do. And if we don't do that research, we're failing our kids. And that's why we're failing in our education system, because we need to provide. I don't care if you're academically. Taylor's a great example. You didn't start out with the aspiration to go to college and get a degree. You wanted to be the best you could be at your craft.
Yeah.
And I might be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely knew why I was going to school and what I wanted to do with my degree, and there's definitely, like, a reason and a passion behind it, and that was just to...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, we got to take a break. Talking to Taylor Gibson, the market director here in Charlotte for National Design Mart, and we're going to talk a lot about flooring. I want to know about flooring, because, you know, there's a lot of flooring out there. Like I said, every house got it. You know, what kind are there? The market changes. I don't know. I'm going to find out how often the market does change, because it's been a while since we've had a flooring person on the show. And you're very into flooring, are you not?
No, I am. That's my bread and butter.
We will see. No. Talking to Taylor Gibson, National Design Mart, about your house, 704-227-8986, right here on Spot Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app or stream us live on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Every Saturday morning we're here. We'll be right back. But I can't trace time. Ooh, yeah.
The sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow. So am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime. But it's July. I'm getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere. This lunch break.
All right, welcome back. Good choice. Got Taylor Gibson in the house, market director, market manager, general manager. She's on it. Here in Charlotte, new since June, just came to Charlotte, going to attack the builder market, custom homes, multifamily, some commercial.
Commercial work, too.
What about resorts?
Yeah, anything commercial work.
Anything commercial?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about flooring. Okay, flooring, you came from Medina.
Okay?
Yeah. A different market, but it still got houses, and, you know, flooring's flooring, right? Are there trends? I mean, are there trends? Sure, there are trends. People are getting away from carpet, as I see it.
Yeah.
What's your feeling? How is the market right now?
I'm
talking flooring market, not money market.
Yeah, I would say a lot of people are moving a lot more towards hard surfaces, just because the carpet, it wears down a lot quicker, and people have pretty, I would say, more destructive lifestyles with having kids and pets and not wanting to take care of their floors as much or really have the maintenance with things. So it's definitely moving more hard surface throughout houses.
Well, the diversity in those flooring, such as LVP, porcelain, tile, help me here.
Yeah, laminate, hardwood.
There you go.
VCT, LVT.
Yeah. one of my big sponsors on the show at one time was Hughes Floor Covering. Hughes is a family-owned business here in town. Been in the business a long time.
Yeah.
Used them on many jobs. They're retail. You're not retail, basically. But I was excited to have them on the show because of the flooring industry and how it's changed. And I also had another one way back. I've been on the radio quite a few years. Floor Coverings International, Barbara Leininger. She was a sponsor and a guest on the show many times, and I could rely on Barbara because she had a lot of years on you, but, you know, that experience and knowledge, she really knew. And she came on the show back when LVP was just coming on the market and how it revolutionized. And then Hughes came behind her, and it's exploded.
It has. It's really exploded over the years.
And just because of the diversity and the patterns, the types, the brands, and water issues. Water issues have been resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been, I mean, even from when I first started in flooring to now, looking at LVP when I first saw it to 8 years later, it's totally changed the market. I mean, a lot of them are very realistic to hardwoods. They have multiple different pictures on them. It's been kind of crazy to see the transition change of what was, you know, great 5 years ago versus what is top of the line now. I mean, it's definitely changed quite a bit in the looks and the depth and the range that they can get in these products now.
It blows my mind. I mean, it really does. And the fact that water has been an issue coming up through the years in products, like when Pergo, and I'm going to mention the product name here. Pergo, when it first came out, was, to me, was junk. See, if we can relate to water at any time, and I talk a lot about water and water damage. Wow, how does it tie in here? You know, now granted, that with what the devastation just happened, it was all centered around water and the amount of water. So, you know, we have to deal with water, okay, always. And the first, any product, and I'm going to talk about this in a general consensus in construction today. Paper is used in a lot of construction products, paper. Now you say, how's paper? Well, a lot of people don't know what MDF is. You know what MDF is?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you do. MDF is nothing but paper, basically, compressed together with resins and glues and that sort of thing. And then they can paint it, they can bake it, they can do all kinds of things, but it's still paper. There's paper baseboard. You say, what do you mean baseboard's paper? Yeah. Yeah, paper. And it's junk. Why would you put paper on your floor or near your floor? I'm sorry, I know why. Because it's cheap. It's junk. Get you a roll of toilet paper, put it in a glass, and see what happens. That's what happens to your baseboard when water hits it. Particle board. Oh, my God. That's horrible. But we didn't know that back in the 70s, apparently, because you saw it at subfloor under all the carpet.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Not too good, was it?
No.
See, you even learned that.
Yeah.
As young as you are. Particle board sucks, but we used it. Just like that paper product. You know what I'm talking about, too, don't you? All this paper stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Paper. Now, the only place I can see using paper molding, really, is crown mold. Not even chair rail, but you could. Chair rail's kind of in the middle there, and you could use it. And you could use some decorative moldings like appliques on walls to create a wainscot look or frame look or panel look. That's cool because it isn't going to get direct contact with moisture. But any time, and I'm telling you this for a reason, because a lot of you folks out there that are getting remodeling, you need to know this because you trust in your contractor. And, Lord, I hope it's a good trust, and I hope it's a great relationship. But, see, if it's a man, typically they're after the wallet. And they're going to say, well, it's so much cheaper. Yeah, it is for a reason, because it's trash. What's your feelings about the paper mold baseboard, Taylor? You got any?
Yeah, I would not put that in my house.
But this is going on. It's terrible. Terrible. Paper molding. Just throwing it out there. You know, have to you know, tell you what I know. So anyway, but LVP, I don't think many brands out there now that aren't waterproof.
No, I mean, even laminate now is starting to be, they're starting to make laminate waterproof.
And laminate was the early pergo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, laminate's actually come a long way in the industry. I'm starting to see it come back to be really popular. And honestly, it's almost more durable than LVP because of the scratch resistance that it has.
I was going to say, laminate was all, like right there, that's laminate.
Yeah.
Laminate's one of the toughest and most durable, long-lasting products we've seen in the residential industry.
Yeah.
Now, granite, stones, quartz, synthetic, composite countertop, stone, are by far more durable, but you're going to pay a lot more money.
Yeah.
We're talking about resilience in a counter that is easy to clean. Laminate.
Yeah. Easy to clean. A lot of them are waterproof now, or at least have that spill shield on them. So if you get water on it, you know, you'd get about 72 hours to clean it up before you might see issues with it. But it's definitely come a long way from even when I started in the industry.
Have you personally, and I'm sure I know the answer, but I want to hear your comments on it, worked with contractors directly?
Yeah.
Do they know what they want?
Sometimes. And sometimes they're asking, you know, for professional guidance on, you know.
Good.
The industry does change quite frequently, so that is why I'm so big on education and always furthering my knowledge in the industry, because what I learned 2 months ago might not be the same thing as today.
Where do you get your information?
Through my suppliers. I rely on them heavily to educate me and also just.
What are the top names in floor covering?
Mohawk, Shaw, Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver?
Mm-hmm.
So Mohawk.
Engineered Floors.
What do you mean by Engineered Floors?
Engineered Floors is the company. They're
a hard surface company
under Dreamweaver.
They're also a product, I thought, Engineered Flooring.
Yeah, Engineered Hardwood. Yeah.
You know, tell us about hardwood. Where is it at today? Because normally in Charlotte, just to tell you, not normally, typically in Charlotte, the number one flooring is hardwood.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I've definitely seen a decline in hardwood sales just simply because it is not as durable as the other products on the market. It's also, you know, more expensive. Also, if you ever need to change it out, it's not an easy replacement to do. Normally requires a lot of work, and sometimes, depending on the adhesive that you use, the subfloor can come up with it, so there's repairs involved in that. But a lot of people want something that's durable and life-proof. People have kids, they have dogs, they have pets. You know, they don't want to be worrying about taking their shoes off when they come in the house, worrying about the moisture control, all those things you have to really monitor with hardwood. And a lot of people just don't want to do that anymore. We all live very busy, crazy lives. And
yeah, buddy.
The, you know, low maintenance is the name of the game, it seems like. But I would say I've definitely seen a decrease in the engineered hardwood or even 3/4-inch hardwood.
Well, and, you know, I'm glad you shared that, because one of the reasons is LVP and the product base for that is such an expansive product. In design, look, and it looks like wood.
It does. Yeah.
It looks like wood. It doesn't smell like wood, but it just has the look of wood all over it, and it's very, very, very durable.
It is. Yeah, and I still love hardwood. I mean,
it's beautiful.
You can't beat it. It's a natural product, but you get those natural.
You walk on it. You clean it. You know, so now granted, wood is wood. It's nature,
mm-hmm.
And I get that. I really do. I love wood. I love hardwood. But, I've seen more issues with hardwood floors than any other floor covering or flooring.
I believe it.
And that's what kind of we're talking about and the way the industry's going. And I appreciate you sharing. Because, in fact, we're going to talk more about the contractor's side of the situation. Because here's a young lady, 25, and knows her flooring. Out of all of it, what's your favorite?
Tile and stone. Yeah.
Great. You know, the next NARI meeting is the 24th at the Cambria. You know what Cambria is?
Yeah, I do.
You know, are you planning going?
I have not looked into it, but I might.
Well, I'm just reminding you. And now I bring up the NARI meetings every month because it's a great networking event every month around professional remodelers, which remodeling is big, big, big in Charlotte. has been for me, been my life. But we're talking to Taylor Gibson here, market manager, and what National Design Mark brings to Charlotte. So tune in. We'll get more involved with her and more facts about National Design Mark. Come on back. We'll be here.
You awake yet? Hour two. Taylor Gibson, market manager of National Design Mart, continues talking all things National Design Mart and the current state of the industry. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina, from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry. Welcome back. Hour number two right here on About Your House. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. Taylor Gibson in the house, National Design Mart. Talking to her about, well, what's National Design Mart doing right here in Charlotte? Your outreach, you, from your directives, you're going to service what area?
All of Charlotte, but we'll also travel to the surrounding areas as well. So,
But once again, National Design Mart is builder-based, by appointments only. If you're a builder, you know, you're looking for someone to, you know, what services are you rendering here in Charlotte?
So we can do anything from, you know, meeting with customers to design products, quoting, estimating, and scheduling, ordering materials, managing the subcontractors. So, with that, so we have some customers that just send us selections, and we take everything from there. And pretty much, they don't have to deal with anything after we install. But we also have customers that will come to us to actually help them select all the products, and we'll facilitate that with the customers.
I've got a really crazy question, and I hope it's not going to corner you at all.
Yeah.
How are you finding your installers?
We found some really good crews down here, and I really like the guys that we're building relationships with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that, because that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I'm really big on making long-lasting relationships with our installers and our crews. You know, it's not, I don't want guys filtering in and out of our company. I want people that we can work with for a long time and create a partnership with.
Relationships.
Yeah.
That's key to success.
It is.
Because it takes a village. I don't care. Construction is that way. And, you know, that's something else that we as an industry need to work on really hard in today's world, because we complain about our labor shortage. Well, when you get good labor, do you take care of it? You know, do you have a good relationship with them? Or are you just squeezing them for everything they're worth? It won't work, especially not in today's market where work is abundant. And it's not all about the money. It's about how you're treated. So I'm just throwing that out there because it comes back. I hear it all the time. The number one thing right now we need to focus on is customer service and honesty and delivering what we say when we say.
Yeah, that's a big part of like who I am as a person and how I focus my career is, you know, I'm never going to say I can do something and not do it.
Right. And when you say you're going to do it, you're talking about National Design Mart and what you represent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Awesome. You know, I was talking about, who do you normally talk to? Anybody that comes your way in that company?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my day-to-day, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, my day-to-day, I talk to, like, a lot of more people than I would expect in this position. I'm really hands-on with my team and, you know, communicate with them daily, but I'm also still helping out with some things in headquarters in Medina, too, so I'm communicating with them often. You know, I had an assistant that broke off to be a project manager on her own, so I'm kind of a mentor to her, and I just kind of help wherever is needed. If anyone calls me for anything, I want to be a good resource and asset to them, because I always had people like that, and I really valued them as my mentors, so it's nice to know that, you know, I can be that person for someone else.
You've had a heck of an education.
Yeah.
You're very lucky, very fortunate, and you exemplify what rural America is more about than big city life. Here you are from a little town, which you said, Wooster,
yeah.
Ohio. You moved up to Medina, which was a little larger city.
But yep.
No Charlotte by any means.
No.
You know, right. And here you are at 25 years old in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yep.
Attacking a tremendous market.
Yeah.
With a lot of competition.
Yeah.
You know, do you look at competition as that, or do you look at it as just a...
I mean, I don't really look at my vendor, like, and, you know, they're not competition to me.
That's great.
Like, I don't want to compete. I don't want to compete with them. Like, I'm not competing with them.
You just want to be...
Filling a need is how I look at it.
Well, and that's the point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like we, an industry, we compete with each other, and we shouldn't.
Mm-mm.
Competition, here again, I think competition in the way we're teaching our kids in life is detrimental. And in Charlotte, I've noticed, and take it for what it's worth, that there's a lot of competition going on. Egos. Big egos. I was asked some questions on the other side of the world this past week. And when I say the other side of the world, because Charlotte's like this island when it comes to, you know, the way we operate as a city. It's not like in the rural parts or Wake County or Guilford County or any of those counties. And I've learned this, you know, going to other counties and being there.
Yeah.
We need to stop competing and we need to start collaborating because we've got some major issues in our industry and it's all around education, critical thinking. More so than any of that, though, is mental health with our kids. They're confused. They're not happy. They don't know what they want to do, and we're telling them what to do. We're not offering them options on what to do. We're guiding them. We're telling them what to do. Now, how do I know this? I'm going to take just a second here, and I'm going to expound on it a little bit. Last week, I got the pleasure, and I'm going to talk more about it in the third hour because Tater's got to buzz out of here around 10:30 or so. But I had the honor this past week of visiting West Boulevard Ministries, which is a ministry around helping young males, young men, young boys, into adulthood, okay? And we're setting up a relationship with what Put Tools in Schools as we're going over there and work with these kids and see what they know or don't know around tools, working with their hands and their minds, critical thinking. Now, I'm going to use that word a lot because I've also, as you well know, that I'm working with a 20-year-old young man who doesn't know anything about critical thinking. It's not his fault. It's not his fault at all, because somebody didn't teach him. And, you know, you could say, well, is he LD? There's one of them. That's called learning disabled. No! He's got a good brain on his between his shoulders. Good head on his shoulders. Wants to do it. They just didn't feel the want, if that makes any sense. That makes sense, Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't tap into these kids' desire and purpose, you're missing it. That panel I discussed this week with kids, one guy said he hated to go to class because he hated to sit down for an hour and be talked to. But he felt great once he got into carpentry and started working with his hands. His whole life changed. Engagement. Now, I asked you earlier about when do we learn? The only way human beings learn. The only way. This ain't my rule. This is God's rule, because he made us that way, is through, the only time we learn is through application and failing.
Yeah.
We said it two or three times. We'll say it again. We're not allowing our kids to do that, are we?
No, we're not.
No. Here sits an example. Rishton Cunningham. Am I right or wrong? Come on, help me.
I've never failed, Ray.
Oh.
Never. 100% success all the time.
Right, yeah. Well, in some ways, that's true.
Well, to a degree. I failed here countless times.
No, you hadn't. You just got better.
Yeah, exactly. But you learn.
Yeah, right. And I've told you some days, too, you're going to mess up.
Right.
But it's okay.
For sure.
Yeah, I encourage it.
Yeah. Unless something goes really wrong, then you don't want to encourage that.
No, but the truth is, Taylor, have you ever wanted to mess up?
You never want to, but it happens.
Yeah, right.
The goal is not to.
But you didn't wake up and go, well, I'm going to screw up big time today.
Yeah.
No, that is not in the cards, you know. You don't want to go apply.
Deliberately do it,
no,
right?
No. So, you know, none of our kids want to fail. But we're teaching them failing's bad. And we really are. And, you know, and I see it all the time in kids. And I'm not telling you anything that I don't go out and play with, okay, because I'm in these kids' lives when I'm around them. And back to the kids Tuesday, West Boulevard Ministry. None of these kids ever held a tool before. Not one of them. Not one of these kids can read a tape measure. Not one. Now, what's amazing is when I get around a group of adults, your age, older, degreed people, college-educated people, you would be surprised. Now, I know this sounds trivial to a lot of people, but to me it's major because it's indicative of other things. In this past 3 weeks, I've experienced teachers, educators, and educators are teachers, and business people who can't read a tape measure. Now, something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah. Really wrong with that.
See, when did you learn to read a tape measure? Now, I pretty much know the answer to
that. I mean, young. I was a little kid when I learned how to read a tape measure. I mean, we always had them around the house.
Because your dad, what he did.
Yeah, right.
See, but now we've lost three generations, Taylor, to dumb down and little exposure to tools.
Yeah. I think people are scared, too. They're scared of them, you know.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate you sharing, because you're not afraid of tools.
No.
I can tell right now, I bet you got a toolbox.
Yeah.
Yep, see? See, how many females out there 25 years old have a toolbox in their apartment? How many 25-year-olds do you know that move away from home to be a market manager in a big city from a little town called Wooster, Ohio? That's industrious. That's awesome. But back to the tape measure thing. But you learn through exposure. What are we going to do with our kids? And, you know, a lot of you parents out there, what do I need to learn how to read a tape measure for? Do I really need to tell you the answer to that? Do I really need to tell you? Think! That's my answer to it. It gripes me because you can't even think. That's how bad it's become. That's how bad it's become. When you got kids turn around and look at you and ask you a simple question and they're afraid to tackle the answer. I see it more.
There's a lot of pressure on these kids.
And more. And more. And when all we have to do is give them something to play with two hands in their mind. Let them be constructive. Let them use their imagination. Let them play and design and build and mess up. Did you ever build stuff as a kid? I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was always
out. Around too.
I was always outside doing stuff, but I would always, you know, be building with sticks and just whatever I could find.
Creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that, too, is something that I've discovered. Not discovered, I've always known it. But I feel it when I'm around kids and they don't have this sense of creation, sense of exploration.
Yeah.
You know, they grab their phone and gravitate to it for all of their psychological needs.
Yeah.
How's that working for us? Not too good. Not too good. So, what are we going to do about it? And I bring this up again and again and again because the longer I live, the worse it's gotten. So I'm going to do something about it. And now we've got total devastation in this country right now. And who's going to rebuild it? The whole infrastructure, everything around it, and houses and lives. How are we going to rebuild them? We got to hunker down, grab the tools, teach, and get with it. And that's what we're going to do. Next Wednesday, and I will say this again for the end of the show, we're going to be at Queens Grant High School, Charter School. We need the trades to show up. Listen, I know you're all busy. I swear I do. I understand it. You're busy. Charlotte's a big city. It really is a big city. There's a lot of HVAC companies, a lot of electrical companies, a lot of building going on, a lot. I don't care if it's commercial or residential. It doesn't matter. We need industry to get involved with Trades Career Days, other nonprofit groups we're going to visit and get in front of kids. All we're all we're doing is just exposing kids to the trades in various ways, whatever way we can, to let them know they can do anything they set their mind to, anything. They don't have to go to college to be successful. And we need to show them. Next Wednesday, Queens Grant High School, Charter School, out on Ottawa Road, we're having a Trades Career Day. We've had three out there. Great group of kids. We need to visit that campus and give them our love. Spread the word. I'll talk more about it, but I got to take a break. Taylor Gibson in the house, National Design Mart, talking about what they're going to do in Charlotte and surrounding area. That's a big area. Come back. We'll talk about it right here on About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream it live. Go online, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We'll be back.
She's gone. And she's gone. Oh, what went wrong? Get up in the morning, look in the mirror. I'm warm as a toothbrush hanging in the stand. Yeah. My face ain't looking any younger.
Life is one act. Why do we lay all these traps? We put them right in our path when we just wanna be free. I will not waste my days making up all kinds of ways to worry about all the things that will not happen to me. So I just let go of what I know I don't know, and I know the peace in my mind.
All right, welcome back. Glad to be here. Hope everybody's having a good Saturday morning. It's a beautiful day ahead of us. What is the weather for the next couple of days? A couple of days meaning the next week. Let's do a little forecasting here. Yeah, it'd be better if I was a little more prepared, wouldn't it? Now I got to deal with all these X's on my screen, you know, and all the X's and the O's. Oh, a good week ahead. Mostly no rain in the forecast here. But once again, I want to caution everybody out in the Midwest, pay attention to the weather coming up in the next 2 weeks. In the 70s. Hey, we're moving into fall real well here next week. High in the 80s, Monday 83, and then we're going into the 70s. Wow, nighttime lows going to be down. Ooh, next Tuesday, they're calling for on the 15th, calling for a low of 46. Getting nippy. Yeah, I love it. Autumn weather with us. And the next two weeks and beyond, clear weather. That's what it looks like. So we've got some pretty weather in store for us coming up. Spring, fall-like. Does that make sense? Spring, fall-like. How you like the weather in Charlotte?
I love it so far.
So far?
I'm excited for winter.
Why?
Because it's not going to be as cold as Ohio.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No snow.
Excited for that.
So you grew up with snow.
Yeah.
Lots of snow.
Yeah.
Did you grow up near any mountains or anything?
No.
I was just curious because I don't know what Wooster is. Right?
No, you go, if you're looking for mountains, you got to go to New York or West Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all basically flat out there?
We have some hills, but.
But not like hills.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I got it. Did you ever go to the mountains in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Aren't they beautiful?
They are.
You know, me and my girlfriend, we were up in the mountains because we spent a lot of time at the coast, spent a lot of time in the mountains. And we're sitting out there contemplating and saying, what do we like best? What do you like best? You like the beach or you like the mountains? And every time, we said the mountains. Every time. Just something about it, and I said it earlier in the show, something about the mountains, I just feel closer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Although the ocean's great. Man, ain't nothing like a walk on the beach, looking at shells and just enjoying that aspect too. But most of all, once again, I want to bring up grounding. Take off your feet. Take off your shoes. Walk in the grass. You know what grounding is?
Yeah.
You know, it's really effective, people. You'll be healthier for it. It's called ion transfer. No, really, connectivity to Earth is very, very healthy, and it will make you feel better, more connected to nature. And that's healthy. It's great wellness. Trust me, it works. A lot of people say, you're an idiot. Well, okay, fine. You know, you call me what you want, but it's right. I'm right on that. And I'm not. It's a fact. Is it a fact? You know,
yeah,
about that?
Grounding is real. It is. It's an experience, and you definitely feel better after.
Right. Taylor here is from Wooster, Ohio. I've said it several times. And we were talking during the break. You're from a small town, and I related her to a farmer. Because, you know, I looked at her and I said, you ever shot a gun? How young were you when you shot your first weapon?
I was actually not that young. I've only recently
shot a gun.
Yeah,
okay.
Within the past few years.
Okay, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're a young adult. You know, and what took you there? Just, there again, just expansion, I want to know more?
Self-defense, yeah.
Self-defense.
You know, learning self-defense. I feel like everyone has guns now. You should at least know how to use one.
Overcome the fear.
Yeah.
Of one.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely had a fear of them for a long time.
Of course,
that's why I didn't.
Why you should? They make a big bang.
Yeah,
they're pretty scary, and they should be, rightfully so. And everyone that handles a gun should know what they're doing and take lessons or whatever it takes, or get instructed by someone who is familiar with handguns.
Yeah,
you know, it's something everyone should know, and every child out there. And a lot of people say they're anti-gun totally. Well, you be anti-gun all you want. But I'm kind of self-preservation kind of guy. I like to take care of myself, you know. And there are times. Now, I'm not all for shooting each other. No. I don't believe in that, you know. But see, that's what. But guns are protective, okay? I mean, let's face it, they are, right? But education's very important. And we need to teach our children how to handle a gun or what they're about. And if you're anti-gun, well, hey. You're probably anti-tools, too. So, you know, whatever. You know, don't put that tool in my kid's hand. Don't do it. Well, don't let him see Ray Terry. Don't let him get around Ray, because he'll put a tool in your hand. You know, reflecting to tools, you know, and growing up and everything. These kids the other night, last Tuesday, I took several of my tools, DeWalt battery-driven tools, and put them out on the table. And kids never picked a tool up for it. Not one of these kids had ever handled anything of any great degree or any power, which was, you could tell, because when they came out there, they were all intrigued. Well, man, that told me, that gave me a open house right there.
Yeah.
I said, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be fun, because last Tuesday was just an introduction. They all called me Uncle Ray, and we had a ball. And I did not want to put a circular saw in her hand, because I didn't want to put the fear of God in all the coaches. Because Bart, the director out there, Bart Noonan, great guy, incredible man. And I told him we were going to build something. He says, what do you mean? I says, we're going to bring saws. We're going to cut wood. We're going to drill holes. He looked at me and said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding you. You know, matter of fact, we're going to be able to build many cornhole boards. And they did a cornhole tournament at the conference I was at, and the prize was many cornhole boards. And we talked about this. I said, hey, man, the universe talked to me again. There's me a mini cornhole board so I can use it as a pattern. But they're online, so I'm going to get me a plan. The point is, these kids, I had a multi-tool. You know what a multi-tool is?
Mm-hmm.
See, Taylor, here she knows what a multi-tool is. You'd be surprised who all doesn't know what a multi-tool is. But they're a must for any carpenter or anybody in the trades. They just work so well. Matter of fact, you know what a jam saw is.
Yeah.
Well, now you get a multi-tool, and that's your jam saw. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
Jam saws have gone by the byway, and multi-tools have kind of taken their place. Rightfully so, because if you ever have one and use it, that's a magnanimous tool. Anyway, and it's so universal. It's incredible what all you can do with it. But at any rate, it vibrates. You've used one, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
How it vibrates when you pull the trigger. That vibration scared most kids, or, you know, they never had it before. Never felt that. But that's why I put the tool in their hand and let them use it. And you can plunge. You know what plunge means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go straight in.
Yeah.
She's kicked. This girl knows her stuff. You know, plunge. You can plunge with it. Well, I put a straight blade in there where they could plunge and cut with it, you know. They were intrigued. Every kid, and here's what's so neat. Every one of them wanted to do it. Every one of them. Matter of fact, we had to quit because time element, and one guy said, but I didn't get to do it. I said, no, I'm waiting on you. You're up next. You're going to do it. And I wasn't. But that's amazing. Now, how can we do that and do it and do it and do it to as many kids as possible, just to give them the experience, the exposure, and the knowledge? Because most of all, it empowers us all. Doesn't it, Taylor?
It does, yeah.
You feel empowered, don't you?
Yeah.
Because of your knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah.
How do we get that to kids? How do we? Risk is a problem, isn't it? It's problematic.
It's a big issue, yeah, for sure.
Yep. You know, how do we give that self-confidence?
It's the fear is most of it. And it comes back to fear of failing. A lot of it does,
yeah,
with the confidence issues.
We're taught to fear in school. We're taught to be wrong.
Yeah, I know.
To fear being wrong.
Yeah.
Social media teaches you that, too. TV teaches you that.
It's literally...
It's weaponizing.
Yeah. No, hey. It's everywhere. It is. It's the fear to be wrong, the fear to mess up, the fear to make a mistake. It's very prevalent.
We need to encourage failing. Not to any great degree, but it's okay to mess up. You know, there's so much to be learned from messing up. I have messed up more than most people could believe. But I own it. And it was hard all these years to own it. And here's something else I've got to reflect on. And that's the blame game. You know what I'm talking about, Taylor? The blame game?
Yeah.
I know you do. If you've been in construction, you know all about the blame game. You know, and men, those idiots called men, they're great at the blame game. aren't they, Taylor?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It's always
the blame game. And let me tell you a thing about life, and it's fact. The minute you blame, you've just proven your character to be less than. Take your responsibility and just fix it. Teach. We've gotten so critical in our culture and the way we live is criticizing. Everybody quick to criticize. Make judgments, and that's something else we're taught. Bullying, what is that? Same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's gotten so bad. We need to help each other. We really do. And we need to give self-confidence, and we just need to empower our kids to be better people and not be so competitive.
Yeah, we live in a really individualistic world and generation now.
For sure.
There's a big lack of community and wanting to help each other, and the competing against each other is very...
It's detrimental.
Yeah, it is. It's a problem. And
right now,
I don't think people view others as, you know, maybe I can help you and you can help me. There's not that
sense of community.
A lot of
it's social media.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what we've become because of technology. One of the reasons. There's many reasons. But, you know, and we're taught to buy. If we buy things, we'll be happy.
It's a consumer culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When that's not the case at all. But that's what we're taught.
Yeah.
It's what we're taught. You know, so, you know, we need, and the answer to this is we've got to teach the kids to be kids and to use their minds and be creative, use their imagination. Where has imagination gone? Kids don't use their imagination. You know.
No.
But you have, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever have a desire to be an interior designer?
Yeah, at one point, for sure.
But you are.
Kind to an extent.
But you are.
Yeah.
You are an interior designer. And that's why I wanted to, you know, people say, my first ambition was to be an architect.
Yeah.
You know, now I feel that I reached my ambition back in my 30s because I designed every project we did. So isn't that basically architecture? You know, do I need a degree? Do I need certification to say I'm an architect? Heck no. That's another problem we've got. Everybody has to have a certificate to prove there's something. No, you don't. You're an example. How many certifications do you have?
A few, but not many. Not in a lot of things that you would think.
Well, no, I would think you wouldn't need, you don't need them, do you?
Not necessarily, no.
That's my point.
You can learn a lot from experience and trial and error.
And that's called reputation. We need to focus on reputation instead of certifications. That's me talking. That's just me. That's my opinion. But that empowers these kids, empowers young adults, empowers older adults to do things, be more self-confident, and lead. There's another issue around all this. Leaders. Another thing I admire about you, you're leading. Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why I came down here. I wanted to be a leader in this industry, in this market. And, you know, working with my team every day, like, I want to be a leader for them and help them be successful because I've had people help me be successful. And
it's all about helping each other and back to the competitive thing.
Yeah.
We're not helping each other by competing against you. And withholding information over here that we could share and be better collectively to the community.
Right.
To the community. Instead, we want to shine and be, we want to look good over here on our field. How's that helping the community? It's helping a select few.
Yeah.
And it is a few. But let's spread the word. They say spread the gospel. Yeah. Yeah, amen. But seriously. That competitive, well, and I'm seeing it more and more and more, and it's detrimental to our collective future.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Well, that's kind of what capitalism's built on, though, is competition.
It is, yeah.
I mean, there's good capitalism. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. I'm just saying that there is a lot of behind that.
I'm not arguing.
It's competition-driven, for sure.
I know, but it's detrimental.
I agree. But I'm just saying there's a reason you kind of programmed into it as a kid brought up.
Yeah.
And I brought this up early in the show about us, everyone wanting to go to the hills to help. I know we do. But we've got to really reflect on the home front, too. We've got to take care of what's in our community. You never know what tomorrow brings. And I don't mean to be selfish or, you know, I hope you get my point. It's just we can't overreact. As a community, we need to stay together and take care of our home front, too, because there's a lot right here we need to take care of. And by the way, I got to bring this up. Flooding's not over. If you hadn't heard Mountain Island, you need to pay attention. And all that water up there, where's it going? Down here. So we're not over this catastrophe. We're not over it by any means. As far as the weather goes, we're not over it. Nature's still in its fury, and it's not over. So in some ways, it's just begun. And that's why I say we need to just be sensible, pay attention, not overreact. The worst thing we can do as human beings is react. I say that.
Panic.
Panic. Don't panic. Reach out to your neighbor, to your loved ones, and group up, talk. Let's do some therapy. Let's talk. Because things are a little frightening at times. So we've got to come together and not overreact, okay? That's all I'm saying. Got to be sensible. Use common sense here, which there isn't much of that around these days. Common sense isn't so common. And I don't mean to preach and all that, but somebody's got to. Because I see a lot of emotion going on, and I understand it. But we've got to spread love. Really do. And I know everybody wants that. I do. But we cannot react and get all mad and angry. We've got to calm down and quit causing problems that we cannot control. Okay? So that's all I want to say. It's not all I want to say. It's just I'm going to end it now because I'll get real preachy, and we don't want that. You know, I tell you, it's been a very, very emotional week. Very. Because I feel the pain. I do. It's. I can't say there's been any time in my life that I felt more emotional about the situations at hand and the way it's affecting so many things. And we're not over. That's what's the hardest part. It's not over. So let's just spread love, folks. Tater Gibson in the house talking about, and I know I'm going off on a tangent here, and I'm not going to apologize for it because it seems to be the emotion of the week, you know. So anyway, Tater Gibson here talking about Floor Covering National Design. Martin, once again, I want to reflect on what the market you're after is. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah, so new construction, builder, multifamily, and commercial projects.
How's business?
It's been good. Just, you know, trying to get our name out there, be involved in the community.
You got any projects yet?
Yeah, we have some. Yeah, we have a handful of projects that we're starting. We came down with some work, too, that we were already contracted out to do. But right now, my biggest task to tackle is just letting people know that we're here and what we're about, and getting involved in the community as much as possible.
Well, thank you. I hope that y'all can come here and be a part of the growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And help some, because you definitely have the resources to help some.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to reach out to you, but I'm also going to help you as much as I can. Here's something I use. I would like to help you help me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I would like to help other businesses help themselves, you know, in this day and time and in era we're living in, business has become more difficult than ever before, especially marketing. How do you market? You know, and I'm going to ask you, what's your feeling about marketing today in today's world?
It's extremely important for a business. With the way social media has exploded, I think you have to have a play in marketing to be able to be successful in business.
Marketing is a whole part of business that didn't even exist in the nature it exists today 20 years ago. And it's complex. And then again, you scratch your head and say, what works? What works in Medina probably won't work in Charlotte.
Right.
Or it might. I don't know. I don't know what works anymore. You know, people say, how can we do this? I don't know. I really don't know the answers anymore. But you do, because you're young. See, my big goal right now is to find young people. Young people got it going on because they're here, they're now, they're, and then to find passion on top, passion on, up on top of youth. Wow, that's awesome. What a gift. That's super. And to see you smile and say, I love what I do. Oh, now we're getting to it. That's what it's all about. 704-227-8986 is the number you listen to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Every Saturday morning, you can hear us. Just find the right place. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com, or Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app. Stream it live. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. Come back. We'll be here.
Scream and shout. I wanna know you inside out. I wanna dig down deep. I wanna lose some sleep. I wanna scream and shout. I wanna know you inside out. I wanna take my
babble head in the box. Must think I'm dumb as a rock. Reading me the news while I'm kicking off my shoes, and it's scaring me out of my socks. Admitted a stranger I'm not, but buddy, let me tell you what. If you ask old Will to say, here's the deal, friends, it's all going to pot. Well, it's all going to pot.
All righty, welcome back. About Your House. Taylor Gibson in the house. I had mentioned earlier and probably didn't finish it because I'm scatterbrained today. We've got an event next Wednesday, Queens Grant High School. It's Trades Career Day. You know, our whole mission behind Trades Career Day is literally what I've been talking about. You know, expose kids to the trades, to hands-on activities, to engage them mentally and let them see plumbing, electrical, HVAC, carpentry, anything to do with your hands, creativity, masonry, McGee Brothers, Kale Hallman, all these things need to be exposed to our youth, and that's what we do on Trades Career Days. We will see approximately 300 to 500 kids. I don't know what the exact number is. Next Wednesday at Queens Grant over on Idlewild Road, and if you have any interest in helping, any at all, please reach out, and you can do so by going to puttoolsinschools.org and go to the events page and, you know, click on the calendar on that day or click on, it'll tell you, volunteer, we've got, how can you help, you know, tab. I think it's called something else, but it's recognizable. You'll know where to go. Click on that, how can you help, and volunteer. You know, if you're a business, sign up to get on the database. You know, get the information. Listen, there's plenty to go around. Everybody's busy. I get that. I really do. But all we can do is a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. If everybody pitches in and helps a little bit along the way, we can accomplish a lot to these kids. You need good employment. You need good labor. You need good people like Miss Taylor Gibson here. This is how we achieve it. We have a bad image. The trades have gotten a bad rap for many, many, many years. 40 of them. It's considered less than when it's not at all less than. It can be greater than, actually. It could be more than, actually. Now, more than what? A corporate college degree, putting it bluntly, or a degree that they get out of college and are in debt up to their eyeballs and can't even pursue what they studied. Why? Because there aren't any opportunities. Listen, I just want kids happy, purpose-filled, service-oriented. Serve. You learned that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, help us spread the word, Taylor. And I'm glad you're here because you bring something refreshing to the table.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Seriously. And I'm glad National Design Mart had the confidence to send you here and come to Charlotte. What, do you know why they picked Charlotte? Like, I don't know.
We've been doing some commercial work down here for a few years. I think being close to the mountains and the beach also might have something to do with that. But definitely, they see a large market down here for us and definitely think that we can fill a need that is out there.
Well, I was excited. I won't lie to you. Very excited when I went on the website and saw what you're doing up in Ohio.
Yeah.
I've been involved very closely to the industry for over 50 years now. And you have something up there that really doesn't exist in Charlotte in the way that y'all are oriented and your business model, you might say, up there. You know, and hopefully you'll grow into that in Charlotte because Charlotte could use a complete – y'all do everything up there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, cabinets, countertops, interior design.
Yeah, one-stop shop.
I mean, if you've got a project, whether you're a builder, remodeler, or whatever, and you worked in that environment for how many years?
8 years.
So you had that as your not only did you go to college and get a business degree wrapped around, you know, your profession, and you did.
Yeah.
And you felt the need. And you did that the whole time while you were working.
Yep.
And involved for 8 years, you've learned the I would say you've reached that interior designer.
Yeah.
You know, based on what you've been educated around. And you're not afraid to go there either, are you?
No, and that was a big part of my job up there is I really liked handling everything from start to finish with my project. So I would actually meet with all the customers and help them pick all their selections and kind of act as that interior designer. But then on the other hand, take it into the project management aspect of it and actually run their project and, make sure everything got installed to spec and the way that I plan things out with the customer. So it's always really fun to see things come full circle like that.
Would you share something with me?
Sure.
What's the biggest blunder you ever been a part of?
Now,
I know that sounds crazy. What a question to ask somebody. It's like asking, have you ever had a customer you hated?
Right, yeah.
You know, and then you're going to say, let me ask you that question. You ever had a customer you couldn't stand to work with?
Yes, but I always can see their side of things.
I understand, but if you sat there and said, no, I never had one, I'd say, you're
lying. Yeah.
You're lying to me.
Yeah.
You know, but you have. Yeah. We all have.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely had some projects go sideways, for sure.
What's the biggest blunder you ever been a part of? Boy, those are the best teachers.
Well, I can tell you the first one that I ever had. When that one's,
that
one's probably the one that I remember the most, and I forgot to scale a print, and I didn't double check it when I scaled it, and I ordered the carpet job, and I was 100 yards short on carpet, and I was freaking out, trying to figure out all the seams. I called my dad and asked him, like, can you please come help me? I really messed this job up. I need to see what's salvageable, and he was kind of freaking out about it, too, and he's like, this is big, like, this is expensive carpet, and I'm all nervous that I'm...
You misdialed 100 square feet?
Yeah, 100 square yards, yeah.
100 square yards.
100 square yards. So it was really off. And, with carpet, you can only stretch it so much. So it was pretty much...
Not that much.
It was pretty much a whole reorder on the job, and I was really nervous, that management was going to be mad. And one of the owners walked by, and he's like, what are you guys freaking out about? And, I told him, I'm like, well, I didn't scale the print. I messed it up. Like, I'm freaking out because it's really expensive carpet and the customer's not going to be happy. And he just looks at me and he goes, well, scale your print, get your carpet ordered, get it done, and don't do it again. And I was like, he's like, you're gonna make mistakes. And that was probably the most prevalent one that I can remember is that one, because I learned that you're gonna fail.
Look what happened with that mistake.
Yeah, I learned from it and I never scaled a print again.
Yeah, but the feeling you felt of that big screw up. And that was a very expensive screw-up.
Yeah.
Of course, you sold the carpet.
Right, yeah.
It's going to be sold somehow, some way anyway.
Right.
Because it'll just sit on the shelf in a big roll.
Yeah.
And then, you probably did sell it.
Yeah.
You know, so it really wasn't that big a deal. But you didn't realize it at the time. All you saw was that big mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was so much relief when he was just like, well, take care of your customer and don't do it again and move on from it. And I was like... All right, and then ever since then, it was like that fear of failing kind of went away because I was like, it does happen. We're all humans. It's going to you're bound to fail. And I definitely learned from it, and I learned more than just that I need to scale my print.
Now, we just said something, and I'm going to relate here because you just hit the nail on the head. We talked about tape measure reading. Everything she just talked about is directly associated with tape measure reading.
Yeah.
Would you agree or disagree?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Now, you're saying you're measuring feet and yards, but everything you do in construction, everything you do in life actually has dimension to it. How much is it? You know, how much, what are you talking about dimension? Everything has a size to it. Everything is made to fit. And to fit, you must measure.
Yeah.
And if you screw up on measuring, you screw up the job. Now, you want to tell me why that isn't important to everyone on this planet? And there are different ways of measuring. You don't even have to use a measuring tape. You could use a dang string. You could use a rope. You could use a vine. You can use anything to measure, but relationships between everything is measurement.
Yeah.
But if we don't teach that to our kids, something's wrong with that picture, you know, because everything you do every day has something to do with measurement.
Am I right? Yeah, no, every day. Measurement, math, you know.
And math is easy once you learn to apply it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You won't learn multiplication very well until you start estimating square feet, square yards, of anything.
Yeah.
Anything, be it plywood, be it floor covering, be it roofing, be it anything. And now, why is learning to read a tape measure so crazy to ask? Because it's all in direct relationship with what we're talking about. Now, if you worked with numbers or on the phone all day in a bullpen or whatever they call them, little cubicles, offices, you know, then no, you really don't need to learn how to use a tape measure. But you know what? You're confined as a result. And I'm telling you that in all honesty and reality, that you're confined because you're trapped inside a box. And that's another point to this whole thing about put tools in schools, because these kids are in the box. You can't get outside the box not knowing these things.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, I never realized in my day-to-day how often I would use, you know, math and multiplying and conversions and a tape measure. Like, it never really occurred to me how much that matters. Well, and I don't think it's not talked about.
That's why I talk about it all the time.
And yeah.
I know people get tired of hearing me talk about it. I really do. And I hate it, but we got a dilemma. We got a crisis. That's a big word, isn't it? Big word. But we have a crisis in America today that kids don't know what they don't know. And here we got a great example right here in studio this morning with Taylor Gibson. And I was very fortunate to share some time this week in Wrightsville Beach at a conference for Connect for Success NC, where I got to talk to six young, 25 and younger, apprentices and, at this point, professionals. One young lady, I'll tell you when I get back. I got to take a break here. Top of the hour break at that. Hour number three coming up. Taylor's going to buzz out of here shortly. And I hope John DeLand from Crown Town Cannabis is coming in studio. And we're going to talk about some sleep aids. A lot of people are having a rough time sleeping. We've got some answers. Healthy, completely organic, safe, no side effects. This is not medical stuff. This is natural, organic remedies to sleep. We're going to cover it. But right now, Taylor Gibson will be back with hour number three. Right after these messages, get you a cup of coffee. Be back.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for hour three. Ray's going to wrap it up with Taylor Gibson, market manager of National Design Mart, and John DeLand of Crown Town Cannabis is going to stop by to discuss the current state of the business, Crown Town Cannabis, cannabis industry, and the future of Crown Town Cannabis. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina, from the hills to the coast. If you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Get a minute, better live while you're in it, 'cause it's gone in a blink. And the older I get, the truer it is. It's the people you love, not the money and stuff, that makes you rich. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop. And that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get, the fewer friends I have. But you don't need a lot when the ones that you've got have always got your back. And the older I get, better I am in knowing when to give and when to just not give a damn. And if they found a fountain of youth, I wouldn't drink a drop. And that's the truth. Funny how it feels, I'm just getting to my best years yet. The older I get,
all right. Taylor Gibson's in the house with National Design Mart. National Design Mart, company out of Ohio, based in what, Medina?
Yeah, Medina, Worcester, and Cincinnati.
Now, see, us Southern people call it Medina. We would.
We would.
If you saw it, and I bet people see it and they say Medina, don't they?
Yeah.
A lot. I had to ask you about Medina and Medina and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say it right, like your name. Of course, you got an easy name, Taylor Gibson.
Yeah.
You're one of them Gibsons from up in Ohio. Is all your family still there?
No. So part of my family is from Florida. Both my parents are originally from Florida, actually.
What part?
Cape Coral.
Okay.
Yeah, so my grandma's still down there. I have some uncles and cousins still down there.
Oh, so you visited Florida a time or two.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of Florida?
I love it. For a vacation spot.
Nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live
there?
I
wouldn't want to live there, personally.
You can.
Florida built different.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
Florida is, you know, unbelievable. Florida. There's Mr. Land. Mr. DeLand. He's in the house. You know. You don't mind if we interject John in the program?
No, that's fine.
Just sit there, be a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. I told him we'll get him on the next segment.
Well, he can sit down. We're going to work it out. Sit down. Make yourself home. John DeLand, meet Taylor Gibson.
Hi, nice to meet
See,
you.
See, we can bring guests
Taylor?
In.
Taylor.
Taylor, okay.
Taylor Gibson, yeah.
Taylor, okay.
Taylor. We could call her Taterhead.
We
kid, kid her, you know. Taylor worked.
Okay.
Taylor. There you go. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
All right. We're going to talk to John here in a bit or two. We're going to wait for the first break, and then I'll run that cable for the line. Is that okay with you, sir?
That's fine.
You got time. You need a break.
Yeah, I'll get me to calm down.
There you go.
Have you been here before?
No.
Is this your first time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she's very comfortable. You know,
He does make it easy.
She didn't have the jitters, but about maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and that's it. That's all I noticed anyway.
Well, that's good.
Taylor, what's your aspirations of life? I'm going to ask you that. A 25-year-old young lady, and here you are in the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's great to have you here because you've just been a breath of fresh air this morning. And, well, I see you as being absolutely phenomenal to the industry.
Yeah, I want to be a big leader in the industry. I've always wanted to really give back to the community, too. So, you know, being as involved as I can in the flooring industry, it branches me out to a lot of different associations where I feel like I can give back. So that's been part of what I've been doing down here is just getting involved in the community as much as possible. And that's definitely something I want to do long term.
One of my, and I'm going to share this with you because you're a target of mine.
Yeah.
I'm going after young people such as Taylor, you know, with Put Tools in Schools, because people like yourself, and there's others like Kale Hallman and Marian Konopnicki and just many others that are involved with Put Tools in Schools, they see the need, and they're young. They understand the problems, the issues, because you've been a part of it. You've watched it. And where you're from is totally different from where this is.
Mm-hmm.
And what you bring to the table here is what you grew up with, which is absolutely what we need to bring to the table with Put Tools in Schools.
Yeah.
And we need to spread that word, and you're that youth. You are that youth, and I admire you for what you've done. You had some great parents.
Yeah.
I can tell you've had some good darn upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, and you've had some tremendous support and love behind you. And that exemplifies what we need to bring to the table with our kids everywhere. And, you know, as I say that, I want you to understand, to all you parents, I know you want the best for your kids. I know you do. I understand that. But I know how misdirected our culture has turned these kids. And, you know, it's been marketed that way. It's in the media, has been. My whole adult life, the media has driven these kids to a place. I see it every day. I hear it from the kids every day. And they're the ones that are suffering. And they are. And I got to tell you, once again, I witnessed a young lady. She came up to the table 2 weeks ago, a young student. And she was so excited, big smile on her face. Just thrilled to death to look down and see all this new stuff she'd never seen before. Then I said, "Do you know what this is?" And I held up a measuring tape. She said, "Yeah, that's a measuring tape." I said, "Can you read it?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Show me." She couldn't read it. And then I knew she couldn't read it. She was talking because she wanted to be right.
Yeah.
See, these kids want to be right, fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's the point of this story. So she measured. And she said, "Is it 6? And I said, "No, it's not 6. Read the tape measure." And she kept reading it, and she didn't know what it was. And I says, 5 13/16. Write it. She couldn't write it.
Yeah.
Not only could she not measure, she couldn't write it. And then when she found out she couldn't write it, her smile turned around to a frown, and she looked sad.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't read the tape measure, much less write the numeral completely, 5 13/16. That right there tells the story. And her whole demeanor changed because she couldn't.
Yeah.
Now, that might not sound like much, but it's indicative of what we're putting our kids through.
Yeah.
And it happened again last summer with a young man that we were measuring drywall, a patch, you know, to patch drywall. He almost teared up, got emotional, because he couldn't read the tape measure. Here again, I'm pounding on that, aren't I? You know, because of how important it is.
Yeah.
Learning how to use your mind, your hands, create, draw, imagine, build, serve, help. Every bit of it is around using your hands and your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
If you don't learn to use your hands and your mind, you can't serve completely. And now I ask the question I'm going to ask everybody every week. When are you your happiest? How about you, Taylor? When are you your happiest?
I mean, I'm happiest when I'm riding my horse, so that's definitely. But
we hadn't even talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I grew up riding horses since I was 4 years old and competing, and I think a lot of my my determination has come from that, for sure. But happiest when I'm riding horses, and probably second happiest when I'm able to make other people happy around me.
That horse, you just brought it into the fold. Thank you. Into the fold. You get it?
Yeah.
But I forgot about your horses.
Yeah.
And she has a horse.
Yes.
Stabled where?
In Monroe. Yeah.
Down in Monroe.
Yep.
And you're a competitor, aren't you?
Yeah, I compete.
So you've competed your whole life, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, in different disciplines. But
tell people what you compete in. Cause
yeah,
I
so I do eventing. So it's dressage, cross country, and show jumping. It's considered the equestrian triathlon.
Right. And that's what you've done. That's another passion.
Yeah.
So you're a horse person, equestrian.
Yes, yeah.
I've got a very good friend. Matter of fact, he's like a son to me, and he bought my business from me. He's got a daughter that's going to go to the University of Kentucky for equestrian. You know, and you know all about that, too, don't you?
Yeah, I have a friend that's just going there now that I was riding with in Ohio, yeah.
Well, how often do you ride?
Well, when I'm competing, 6 days a week. So it's a...
You got any events coming up?
Well, my horse just got off an injury, so taking it slow, I might do something this fall, but definitely next season I'll
compete. So you've always had a horse growing up?
No, so I didn't get a horse until I was 17 years old.
But you rode other people.
But I rode other horses for other people.
So you were a rider.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's just great. I'm glad you brought that back into the conversation
because
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a driving force of, you know, why I work so hard and why I am who I am.
Why is that, you think?
Well, A, horses are expensive.
They are. And they're expensive to keep up.
They are. So, I mean, that's part of it. But
more than a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. But just, you know, I've always, with horses, you know, you always do something 100%. Like, you never do something 90%. You're going to do it 100% or you're not going to do it at all. And that's just, I've really carried that over into my career too. And I just, everything I do, I put my all into if I'm going to do it.
I understand that philosophy totally because like cornhole, they were playing the other night. Are you going to play, Ray? I said, no. Why don't you play? I said, cause I'm not good enough. It doesn't matter. It does to me. No, it does to me. I mean, really. I said, I tell you what, I'll check back with you next year. And what I'm going to do is we work with kids. We're going to build cornhole boards. I'm going to get me two. I'm going to set them up in the warehouse, and I'm going to go out there and become a thrower, a beanbag tosser. And I'm going to get better at it because it seems to be pretty popular.
And it's crazy popular.
I know.
Yeah.
Living doing it.
Oh yeah.
Professional cornhole player. Oh, I've watched the competitions.
Yeah.
And they get heavy duty. I mean, big time. I watched it up at the doghouse 1 year when I was with WFNZ.
Sure.
And man alive, those guys. They came in. They flew into Charlotte from all over the place to play in that competition. And when I watched about 5 or 10 minutes of it, I kind of understood. That was heavy-duty tossing out there. I mean, they would sink every bag. I said, dang. So that's kind of what if I'm going to play, I want to play.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be an old man playing, you know, and that's cool.
I made my own boards and play regularly.
Yeah. But it's a great, it's something that I think can be, I don't know, we'll see. But like horse riding, you say you do it all or do it.
Yeah.
You jump in all the way.
Yeah.
And that's your attitude.
Yeah.
We're going to get wet. Let's get wet. It's like if you go to the mountains to help people, you're going to get muddy. But you get muddy. You know, when I was in the service, when you go out in the woods, you're going to get dirty. Well, we're going to get dirty. And it's like people say, do you go in an attic? I said, yeah, on 150-degree. Yeah, I'm up there about an hour or two. But if you go up in that attic, you're going to say, we're going to get hot for an hour or two. And you just, we're going to get hot.
Yeah.
We're going to sweat.
Plan
on it.
Yeah.
It's your way of life for the next, like going to do a carpet lay in the morning on a 90-degree day. How hot does it get up in Ohio?
I mean, it can get hot, yeah.
What's a hot day in Ohio?
I mean, 95, 98.
It does get that
oh,
hot.
Oh, yeah, it can, yeah.
It's humid up there.
Humid too? Yeah, humid too, yeah.
You're from Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right, because I'm from Michigan, and people.
Yeah,
you know,
no, the,
it's a 3 month summer.
Right,
but,
right.
Yes,
right.
It gets very hot. Very
so
hot.
You know, it's like going out on a hot summer day to a job in the trades. It's going to get hot that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to sweat. Yeah, you'll probably be wringing wet by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, talking wringing wet. There have been days in my life, you know what OD green is? Back in the Army days where they just had OD green camouflage. Where I've come back from a day where we were dark green. I mean, the whole thing was dark green.
Yep.
Why? Because that's how much you sweat all day. You know, it's all a state of mind, right?
Yeah.
But you, I love the fact you're into horses, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And now you who brought your horse down here?
I did.
You drove it down here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you drive it with?
My truck and trailer, yeah.
So you've got a truck and trailer?
Yeah.
Drive a Subaru?
Yeah.
Damn. First class.
How far do you travel to compete?
So in Ohio, I was anywhere from 5 to 7 hours. But down here, I'm closer to a lot more. So I hopefully won't have to travel very far.
Well, there's a lot of horse competitors down here.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
And we just talked about how bad competing is. And look what she did. She competes.
Well, that's one thing that I like about eventing is it's always a competition against yourself. Yeah, there's placings, yeah. But it's always mainly, did I get better than the last show? It truly is because it's a team thing with you and your horse. So it is a competition between others, but more so it's a competition between yourself.
You and the
getting
animal.
Better. Yeah.
You and the
animal. Together.
Yeah, you have to work.
You can do your part, and if the horse.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That and you know, just looking at your scores and saying like, well, you know, from this show to this show, I was able to pick
you
up.
You compete
or
with
drop.
Yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You don't compete with the other people.
Yeah.
You just want to be the best version of Taylor Gibson you can be.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Cross the board.
Yep.
I don't give a dang what you do.
Yeah.
That's the attitude.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to kick butt. Okay. And we're going to wrap her up when we get back from the break and say goodbye to Taylor. She'll be back, I hope. And say hello to John, talking about sleeping aids. You have trouble talking? Well, don't listen to me. No. You have trouble sleeping? We'll be back to talk about Crown Town Dispensary. How many times are we going to change the name? No, I'm just kidding. But
there's a method behind it.
I know that. I know. 704-227-8986. Taylor's going to say goodbye. Talk to John DeLand when we come back and talk more about stuff right here on About Your House.
Shakes all over like a chili. Get hit and get on my tracks. Take a back seat, hitch home. Take a long ride on my moonlight bike till I'm ready.
Ready, ready.
Raise a little thing all over.
Welcome back. Excuse me, I had to take a little bathroom break there. It happens in life. Like, that's a little TMI, too much information, but it's okay. I told you anyway. all right. I've had Taylor Gibson on the show this morning. It's been great. Really has a plethora of information and passion and intensity for a young 25-year-old been in it 8 years now?
8 years.
8 years since she started when she was 16 years old. And a great example of what's out there for kids. Started as a receptionist, but desire, passion, and because you just loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought I would get out of it, but I really do like I like the industry. I like the people I work with. I like just being involved in that level of industries. It's very different than a lot of other markets and industries out there.
It's never the same.
It's not. It's ever changing, and that's one of the reasons why I like it, because I get bored very easily, and having something that always keeps me on my toes and always learning something new it's very challenging, and I like that.
We're all that way, though.
Yeah.
We really are. Innately, we're born that way. And it I've told people, you never drive the same nail twice.
Right.
You never put the same screw in twice. Well, you do sometimes, but you got to take it out to put it back in. So it's always changing. It's never the same. And that's what's great about the industry. Well, I love what you bring to Charlotte, and I applaud National Design Mart for coming to Charlotte. I appreciate that, and I hope you grow into everything you want it to be. But once again, I want to tell you, Taylor Gibson's her name, National Design Mark. You can go on nationaldesignmart.com, but we want to remind you, tell them the hours. Tell them how you work.
Yeah, so we're by appointment only. Typically, our hours are going to be your 8 to 5 o'clock. We're mainly looking for new construction projects, so commercial, multifamily, and builder accounts. Builder can range from, you know, semi-custom to custom to set standards. So we offer a wide range of variety, flooring and cabinets, and then sometimes countertops down here.
If you had a multifamily job, the countertops could be in that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's for larger projects, that makes a little bit more sense for us. We'd likely be, logistically, it'd be coming from Ohio and coming down, but definitely something that we can do.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Your measurers, your measuring people, that team, is it here?
It's me.
It's here?
It's me, yeah, it's here.
How do you measure? If you're...
We have a measure system that we use with lasers.
Hardware, with lasers.
Yeah, we have a laser system that we
use. I said hardware, I meant software.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Yeah, lasers, and it goes on your iPad, and actually, it's a cool system. I can actually, if I set it all up properly, you can actually get a quote on the spot from a project. But yeah, we'll measure off of that, and then obviously we have a system that can import CAD files and blueprints.
And I brought it up earlier, you know, and I know you got to get out of here, but I brought it up earlier. You're probably as technical or advanced on the computer with this than most other people because of your industry and your background with a company that's been entrenched in the flooring and building industry. So you're very familiar with all the software and packages.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
we're top drawer, technically speaking.
Yeah, yeah, and we're always looking for new technology that we can use that can make, you know, all of our lives easier too, that we can incorporate in the company.
Right. Laser technology is amazing for measuring, and something I talked about with the DeWalt boys down there at the conference because they were one of the vendors.
Yeah.
And the technology in buildings is enormous. And see, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm completely ignorant to it. I'm stupid.
Yeah. No, it's changing every day, and it's really, you know, becoming more innovative every day too.
Well, Taylor, it's been a joy and a pleasure, folks. That's National Design Mark Builders, custom builders. You know, multifamily, developers, all of that, she's your girl.
Absolutely.
National Design Mart's the name of the company. You can go to National Design Mart. How best way to get in touch with you?
The number on the website.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah, number on the website.
Go to Charlotte, you know, because we're in Charlotte.
Yep.
She's there. So just reach out to her and she'll help you.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, girl.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Great meeting you.
Yes, it was great to meet you too.
Talking to you. And we'll talk again. All right. Stephen, he'll walk you out and I'm going to just say bye. We don't normally say goodbye in the middle of a break, in the middle of a segment, but today we are because you got an appointment.
I do.
Take your headset off.
All right. Thank you so much.
Don't want you walking out with it on because it'll pull you back.
Right.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Now, scoot you over here. There you go. John DeLand's in the house. John, he was on the show here a few weeks ago, and I'm going to bring something. Now, we said we're going to talk about sleep. Yep, we are. We're going to talk about sleep, but we're also going to talk about anxiety. Right now, after this week, and I'm going to tell you there's weeks to come, we're just getting started, and truly. Now, I know you've talked to Mike Sims, and Mike, the man, and Mike's been to the hills.
All week.
All week?
Yeah.
Tell me what you got.
Well, we...
Talk close to the mic.
We...
Now, I'm not talking about your giving. What kind of reports you got back from the hills?
It's devastation. I mean, you're finding people that he just described one where he met a lady, helped her get out of her house. She couldn't leave.
Right.
And she has a 20-year-old daughter that she hasn't seen, can't find her.
Right.
Imagine that's some real anxiety. Yeah.
We've got a lot of cases, and not just up there, but everywhere right now, of just emotion. I mean, the catastrophe, the enormity of the whole thing, you know, it's just emotional. And there's a lot of anxiety. Now, we talk a lot about Crown Town Cannabis on the show. And this is a prime example of we're going to talk about the medical side. You know, you can go get all your antidepressant medicine all you want, and you can go the pharmaceutical route, or you can go a natural organic route through cannabis products, be it CBD, okay.
Correct.
And other, let's don't get it, and I'm not a doctor, I got to do my disclaimers, I'm not a doctor, but I know what in the hell I'm talking about. I do I have a certification? No, I'm a dummy, but there again, I want to inform you of avenues that are legal, that are non-habit forming, that have no side effects, that work. I mean, isn't that what you're after?
Yeah, the side effect is the list of side effects you see on medications and then versus my products.
There are none.
There are none.
It's
natural.
So, anxiety. What have you got in your store for anxiety?
Well, CBD in general, the big three that it'll help you with, from experience with a lot of customers. I've been with us since the day we opened.
Yes. How long's that been?
We're 6 years now.
6 years.
Six
deep.
Years, yeah.
The first, you know, the first true dispensary in Charlotte.
Yeah, our central store. We now have four stores.
2419 Central Avenue, yep.
But you know, pain, stress, sleep, that's all CBD naturally helps us with.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
It's just not me talking. That's
no, it's me talking. It's, I can tell
and
you
lots of customers.
That's the big guy, Mr. Hilbig's.
Yeah,
you know, thing.
There's so many customers who have just, you know, have very similar experiences where this is a positive effect on them. They're getting away from laundry lists of medications they're taking
and alcohol. Some people, it's helped with alcoholism.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm talking to one right here in front of you.
No.
Mr. Hilby.
I mean, it's helped me, especially with the transition. I mean, I quit almost 2 years ago, and it's really helped with that transition. So, but I think the hardest thing, because I kind of just came into this, but
yeah.
I do feel like sleep is the one, it's still kind of the hardest thing with it, especially depending on what you take. Like, my mind just never turns off.
That's where my stuff helps, you know, because some form of I can't sleep is the number one question that comes in my store. What can you help me with sleep? And there's, you know.
What can? Give me a list.
Tons of, you know, you can start out just straight CBD, just a CBD gummy. Okay. Very mild. Not going to, there's no real psychoactive feeling. It's just about the health benefit of CBD.
It relaxes you. It calms you down.
It just helps kind of shut your brain down at the end of the day.
And let me tell you how, okay, because we've talked about this a lot. Every mammal walking on this planet has an endocannabinoid system. You know, for years, in 1937, they banned cannabis, CBD, hemp, all of the above, because they wanted you to be sick. Okay, now you say, well, what do you mean? Well, it works, folks. It is an analgesic. It helps in so many ways, and it can, because it's a natural, God-given plant with benefits that will help you in your health and everyday life. So I know personally, and I have to say this, I've been taking Green Serene now for a year. How long we've been using
it? Six.
6 years.
I've been helping you since the beginning, yeah.
6 years I've been doing Green Serene. Now, why? Because it's not but $25, $30 a bottle. I can't remember exactly. And it works. And it lasts for about 30 days. You know, it can last longer. It can last shorter. It depends on if you double up. And your body will tell you. Now, I know if I don't take it personally, relative to arthritic pain, my joints, it eliminates it. Mm-hmm. If I lay off of it 3 weeks, the pain comes back.
Yeah, I take oil every day myself, and, you know, people always ask me, well, how does it make me feel? And I didn't really feel anything when I took it this morning.
It's not a feel.
But go 4 or 5 days without it.
You'll feel it.
And you start feeling, that's what that did for me. And yeah. I use that as just kind of my baseline.
Right.
Everyone kind of struggles with sleep, especially in today's world. I use the edible occasionally just to add to it. We got variety of strengths in those.
And we're not talking about getting high or any of that.
That's not what that's about. That's there if you want that, but that's not.
Yeah.
That's not what a sleep aid's for. You're supposed to, because if you can't rest.
Yeah.
Sleep is very, very health oriented. You've got to get your sleep. Mm-hmm. If you don't get your sleep, your body doesn't do what it's supposed to do. In medical. And by the way, next weekend, next Saturday, my girls better show up. Dr. Cammy Benton, MD, we're going to talk about this. Ann Bodie in the house. She's a psychotherapist, medical doctor. And we're going to talk about these issues a little deeper next Saturday on the show here. Because Cammy's all into what we're talking about right now. A lot of doctors are, in fact, familiar and believers in it. They know it's effective, and we're going to discuss it.
We're hearing it. We have them come in more and more where my doctor recommended CBD. I hear that.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
No, it's a thing, like, because that's what, like, when I told my doctor what I was doing, especially when I stopped doing what I was doing, they were like, oh, yeah, that's a great source. It's a great – I mean, like, they recognize that it's a good source.
They've done studies now.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they weren't able to do studies. They didn't even start studying this until the 90s.
Yeah.
But if you look back, hemp's been used as a health aid as long as people have been around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Chinese write about it 10,000 years ago where it's their health aid, yeah.
Before 1900, the number one analgesic on the planet was hemp, but they don't want you to know that. They took it away because they wanted to control the medical industry. And here's something right now that's very affordable, non-habit forming, not addictive, same thing, just worded two different ways, has no side effects. Never harmed anyone. Never harmed anyone. So, and all we're trying to do now is present it again to you folks out there at a time that I feel it's necessary for people to understand the benefits. You know, so that's why we talk about it.
So, John, you talked about, like, sleep aids and stuff. Talk a little bit about CBN.
CBN is the cannabinoid in the plant that helps with sleep. And I have gummies that are CBD and then a dose of CBN, which is just the sleep aid.
Yeah.
I like that much better than melatonin. I think got to be careful with melatonin. Our bodies naturally make it, so
yeah. And if you have too much melatonin,
right, and you just get yourself out of whack. But the CBN's much more natural. I have from completely THC-free ones, like a Wild brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're a 25 milligrams of CBD, 5 of CBN.
Mm-hmm.
That's vegan, gluten-free, THC-free, chucks a lot. Everyone can take it.
Yeah, I use the CBN. Yeah. I love it. It's good.
Celestial Wellness is a little stronger. They have 20 milligrams of CBN per gummy because, you know, it just depends on what you need. I always tell people we'll start with a weaker dose or, you know, half a gummy because there's no incentive to overdo it. Our bodies won't store it. You'll just pass it, and you essentially want to figure out what's the least amount you need to take.
Well, it's like any medication.
To get your desired results. Yeah.
Well, and I like it, too. Different.
Yeah, and it gets much stronger. You can go up to, you know, I have a Caramel that's 40 milligrams of Delta-9 and 10 milligrams of CBN. That's probably my strongest sleep gummy. There's regular, you can CBD vape, just straight CBD.
Yeah.
I have smokable hemp flower that is just CBD.
I've had a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, like, the thing I like about the CBN, though, it doesn't make you feel groggy in the morning.
No.
Like, with melatonin and all that stuff, it makes you feel groggy in the morning. You don't feel anything. You feel refreshed. You feel great with CBN. Like, I've had a few of it. Like, I like to take that or CBD at night. And it's helpful. I mean, yeah.
Oh, I agree. It, you know, whatever part, aches and pains, everyone has them. I'm getting older, but if you can get some sleep, it fixes a lot. And if you can't sleep, you're miserable.
Rest is very, very, very important. And I bring this up today, once again, because I feel like it's needed. People need to hear, be more educated, being more informed about what's available to you that's legal. It's not illegal, and it's very safe, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
All we want you to do is live healthy, live happy, and without a lot of emotional stress.
And you were speaking about pain earlier, Ray, about arthritis and all that. Yes. My 93-year-old grandmother, I get her the it's the freeze acting the
hemp freeze.
Yeah, the hemp freeze.
Yes.
And literally, it's just a cream that they have, and she says it works wonders for her. She has really bad arthritis.
Yeah. Topical,
she does that every day, and she says she feels no pain.
Santa Botanicals, however you say it. You still got that in the store?
We're running low. The company's changed.
Yeah, well, that surprised me.
Not any longer available. I have a few of their products left, but they're going to go away. But we got plenty of other options.
My point, though, they had a topical that was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and theirs was great.
And if you have muscular pain or, as you well know, migraines.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have migraines, and, you know, you can use a little bit at the base of your neck there, you know, right below your skull.
Especially stress headaches.
Right.
Yeah, anything with, like,
He brought it. What's his name? Doctor, what's his Sam?
Sam is his name.
Yeah, Sam. Sam came in. And left a little bit of it here, and he took it, and his migraine went away.
Oh, it was great. It helped me. So.
Yeah, no, it's...
That's all we're saying here, folks, just trying to educate you. John, I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, no, it's... I like to get a chance to talk about the store because we sometimes get the perception of what our business is it's more the health side. That's what
I promote more than anything is the health side. Yeah, they've got products that'll give you a buzz, okay?
Mm-hmm. And that's okay a little bit, if you need a little bit of both.
If you want to get high, okay, let's talk truth. You can go in this store and many, many other dispensaries other than Crown Town, and they got products to get you high, okay?
They want to help you with the wellness.
But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about getting high. We're talking about feeling better, sleeping better. Aches and pains, gone.
That'll make you feel better just being able to sleep.
Locations.
We are South End. I'm at 115 East Park Avenue. We're in Plaza Midwood at 2419 Central. I'm in Noda, 3201 North Davidson.
Above Cabo Fish
Taco. It's above Cabo Fish Taco.
And if you can't climb stairs, don't go to that store.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, that is true. And we have a store in Concord right off exit 58.
Right across the street from the theater, right near the hospital and all that. Or, excuse me, not hospital, the mall.
The original. Carolina Mall.
Yeah.
We also can order products online if you can't get to the store. We ship stuff all over. Reasonable shipping fees.
Yep.
All my stuff can be ordered.
Great staff. Professional, good customer service.
And if you go to the South End store, you will have to pay for parking, but they'll validate.
We can take care of your parking.
There is a parking deck behind the building. Okay, they will take care of the parking for you.
Which is a huge deal.
just bring your parking slip in and we can take care of it for you.
There you go. Cool. That's it. And I'm going to say goodbye to John. I appreciate you coming in, sir.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
And I'm going to come back and talk more. There you go. Exciting. Whoopee! We'll be back.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day, living in Reseda, there's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
City Audio, Video, and Appliance next Saturday, October 12th. They're doing a Hurricane Helene response, Hope for the High Country. 500,000 meals they want to pack. 500,000, that's right. 500,000 meals. 10,000 hygiene kits. Putting all this together for the hills next Saturday. Hope for the High Country. I'm going to read this because I just want to say it. Heavy rains caused by Hurricane Helene did immeasurable damage and created massive devastation in the High Country region of the Carolinas. And despite losing a storm in the store, our longtime partners at Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance, led by the Player family, Roddy Jr., Kate, whole family, based here in Charlotte, reached out with both support and big idea to respond to the suffering in the area, the beautiful area of North Carolina. Next Saturday, October 12th, the Charlotte community is invited to gather at 11410 Carolina Place Parkway in Pineville for a massive disaster relief effort. That's their Pineville store, folks. Together, thousands of volunteers will pack 500,000 meals, 10,000 hygiene kits. These items will immediately be taken to distribution points in Burke, Watauga, Avery, and McDowell counties. Queen City has launched this effort with financial support provided the building to host the event, they've gotten things rolling. But to fully bring this effort to reality, we need your help, and there are two paths to get involved. Volunteer. If you're in the Charlotte area, please click the volunteer button below. Of course, I'm not on that, but you can go to queencityonline.com. That's queencityonline.com. I'm sure as thorough as that company is, they'll be buttons and things to push to donate, volunteer, and do whatever needs to be done. So if you'd like to contribute to the cost of this massive relief effort, you can do that as well on the website. Simply follow the directions, okay? Next Saturday, they need your help. They being a lot of things. Queen City's doing the effort. You'll be doing the helping, okay? They're providing the place, as many, many people are. The efforts going on right now are ginormous. Never seen so many people, so much love, so much care as there is in this state, in this part of the country right now. So I commend Queen City. As always, they're first to step up, and they support this show. They support the community. They support efforts. They're just tremendous. They're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Folks, you can contact them at info@nochildhungry.net. That's info@nochildhungry.net. That's Queen City Audio, Video, and Appliance. Packing, loading up 500,000 meals, 10,000 hygiene kits next Saturday, October 12th. Once again, 11410 Carolina Place Parkway in Pineville for a massive disaster relief effort. Folks, we all want to help, and I'm sure if you look on social media and places, there are plenty of places to help. But remember, we all must be safe, be cool, non-reactive, and just spread the love. It's a little frustrating. Things are kind of hectic. Things are actually crazy. But let's come together peacefully. I said peacefully because, well, we just need to spread some love and not anger. Okay, but sometimes it gets a little testy out there, and I understand it, but let's work together. That's Queen City Audio Video Relief Effort next Saturday, October 12th. Thank you, player family, for all you do in the community and all you have done. Not to mention you've got a great company, the largest privately owned appliance company in the Carolinas. That's Queen City Audio Video and Appliance. So, looking forward to the week ahead. Folks, I said, once again, that this effort really is just getting underway. I know it's been a week, but it takes days to get to some people. It might take weeks to get to other people, but we'll continue to do it as people that we are and the people that care and the community that cares. So I want to talk a little bit about my week, and part of the side note of this thing is, you know, we've got to rebuild. We've got to help. We've got to use our hands, our minds, and be constructive going forward. Roads are gone. Infrastructure's gone. People's houses are gone. Lives have been changed forever. What are we going to do about it? We're going to work together. I feel that my mission in life at this point in my life is to help people learn. Learn about what? Learn how to be more self-sufficient, empower them to bigger and greater things using their hands and their minds and critical thinking. This past week, like I said earlier, I went to a conference in Wrightsville Beach. I got to meet some youth, as I've met a lot of youth here in the past 5 years of my life. I've met a lot of youth in my life, and I do everything in my power to empower them, to give them more self-confidence, the ability to survive, using their own self, their own mind, and their own efforts. And we need to do that in our schools. How do we do that in our schools? Connect our kids with tools, with creative and imaginative outlets, such as Legos, the Legos of life, you could say. Legos of life. How do you construct something to function, to have purpose, to serve? That's what it's all about. Put tools in schools essentially does that. Now, and I know there's so much help going around now, but, yep, put tools in schools needs help. We need help from the industry. We need teachers. We need instructors. We need schools. We need students. We need volunteers to step up and expose these kids to these crafts. It empowers them. It gives them a whole purpose that they never realized before. I'm not saying it's for everybody. It's not. But it sure puts a smile on a lot of people's faces, let me tell you. It empowers you, empowers these kids, gives them self-confidence. How can we do it? Well, we need to teach them. And there's much more to it than just tools, okay? It goes deep, real deep. Self-confidence. I say it all the time, and, you know, I'm not apologizing for it anymore because after hearing and seeing what we're going through right now, this is a whole different side of the giving page, you might say, of life. It's a way to give once you know how. Fortunately, we can teach it. It's not too late for a lot of kids. They need this. So, and this week, once again, we just got to go out and spread love. But remember, don't get angry when you go to the store and the shelves are empty. It's not because the stock is going away because of the port strike. All that, just put things in perspective. The reason they're out is because everybody's going to purchasing, giving to the efforts of Western North Carolina and beyond. So don't think the worst. Let's turn our thoughts around to be more positive, more loving, more caring, more empathetic, and certainly much more compassionate. I know it's hard sometimes. And another thing that I must say, this thing's been politicized as well. We got to get away from that. But I will say something's happening. There's a war going on in this country that's very, very unpleasant. It looks to me they're doing anything they can to change, to tamper with this election. And that's happening. Remember what the date is, October. You got 1 month until voting. So be aware. Be aware. Be aware of the weather. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware. And don't react to idle threats because they're running rampant right now. It's crazy, crazy time around this political arena, and it's just out of control. So that's another part of this that I don't want to bring up to a degree because there's just so much division right now. I don't quite understand it. And I do understand how the media has been weaponized and literally a big part of this, unfortunately. It's a psyop, psychological warfare. It's plotting us against each other. You can call it conspiracy theorists. You can call it what you want, but it's a reality. Now, I got to go. This week's over. Next week, we'll bring it back to the forefront, where we're at and what we're doing at that time. And I promise you, I'm not going to spread any misinformation. God, this terminology that's being thrown around is unreal. But next week, got Dr. Cammie Benton on with Bodie. We're going to talk about mental health and health as wellness. Great show ahead. Go spread some love. Use your brains. Don't react. Let's all love each other. I love each and every one of you. We all can help just by loving. That's great energy. You get more out of love than you'll get from anything on this planet. I say it a lot. I live it a lot. Let's do it. We'll see you next week right here on About Your House.
Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong.